You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first roundtable of the season for Big Brother Canada 9. This is, of course, the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds, and then we rate all the players. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am joined today by Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for our first roundtable. I feel like we already have a lot to talk about. I thought it was interesting that normally during the roundtable, something crazy happens and we're scrambling like, what's going on? What's going on? So I thought it was very polite of them to do the house meeting before the roundtable.
It was.
So that way we could talk about it.
It was very, very polite. also joining us this week, the wonderful Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. I'm doing well. And yes, that was so nice of them. That's why I love this cast. Like, I love the diversity and I love just the thoughtfulness that they have and they possess. So I'm loving the season so far. I'm just glad for Big Brother to be back. So I'm waiting for like my rosy colored glasses to come off once the season gets going. But I'm just glad that we're here and we're talking about it.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot to talk about here on the roundtable. We have to we can try and piece together what was happening last week. We can try and give you the best summary that we can for this week. I know that in particular, especially after Monday night's episode, there are a lot of people out there who are like, hold on, what's actually happening in the show? Because apparently we're not seeing it in the show. So those people may be tuning in here. This is a good place to get a nice sort of summary of the week on the feeds, if that's what you're into. So that's what we're going to try to do. But it's going to be fun. I'm interested to talk about these players. I'm interested to talk about the state of this house. I do feel like we have some potentially interesting dynamics here, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I have to say, I am kind of shocked at the way it's kind of turned out in terms of like who's hanging out with who and who is like, I guess, in the majority alliance. I really honestly never saw Tina as like, you could like go back and look at the cast assessment or our draft where I'm basically just like, I write off Tina, like, I don't see it, guys. And I mean, I was so wrong. I'm absolutely willing to say it. And I love that because I didn't get the sense in her intro video that she like cared at all about the game or that she like wanted to win or that she had any sort of like strategic mindset. It wasn't coming to me. So I'm so happy that I was completely wrong and that she is honestly like, I think she's one of the best players in the house right now, probably the best. She's in the best position. And nobody suspects her at all. Everybody wants to work with her. It's like, it's honestly like Tyler 2.0 or something. It's crazy to me. I had no idea. So very happy about that.
Yeah. Asia, how have you felt about Tina so far?
Oh, I have loved Tina and like exactly like you, Melissa, I did not have high hopes. Like you always have an expectation with the person that is older than the majority of the house. Mm-hmm. And so it's like for her to come in and not, of course, you know, she was safe, but it wasn't like, oh, as soon as Tina isn't safe, like we have our eye on her. Like she,
yeah, or like that's an easy target.
Exactly.
I feel like that's like, that could have easily been the way it goes. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, well, Tina's safe this week, but like, that's an easy target for next week. She's not allied with anyone. She's not hanging out with anyone, but I see her as like this, as part of like the center social group, which is awesome.
Exactly. And I know we'll get into it, but like both sides of the house wanting to work with her and not even having it like in their minds that, oh, she's probably in with the other people. Like that just shows how well she's moving around. She's not staying in one place, being with the like it's the same group of people all the time. And I just think just she's working it so well. And the fact that people don't typically suspect that type of player to do well, I think that's going to work for her. So like, in the long run, people aren't going to suspect her to be one of the biggest threats. They're going to be going after people that, you know, are typically the threats, like maybe the physical threats or the people they think are really smart. But it's like Tina being so like unsuspecting, she like she's playing a great game already in week one.
Totally. Yeah.
I just I'm reliving a moment here, Melissa, in my head where I'm thinking back to the draft that we did and I had the last pick. And I was planning to pick Tina. Tina was in my head. And then all of a sudden we had this wash of information about this Kyle who has a mental health podcast. He seems great. The chat is like, pick Kyle for the memes. And I was like, you know what? I'll pass on Tina. I'll go for the wild card for the chat. And that moment will haunt me forever.
Yeah, I thought it was the right decision at the time, but that was also the wrong Kyle. So, I mean, I feel like we kind of messed that one up. But, you know, hey, like, to be fair, to Kyle's credit, he's not doing terribly. Like, he's not an awful player by any means. It's just like, he's no Tina.
Yeah,
exactly.
I never thought I'd say that. He's no Tina. Yeah, no, honestly, I would say, I have to say that I am impressed with everybody so far. I don't feel like there's anybody that I'm like, oh, this is an easy boot. Like this person has nothing going for them. Like just get them out. They're not even playing. Like I could see anybody winning it at this point. Like I could see it turning around for Josh, even like, I feel like if he stays this week, then he's in a good position. I could see really, honestly, any of them winning. And I feel like that's a really good way to start out the season. Just like, I mean, there have been so many recent seasons where starting out the season, I'm like, okay, I think there's going to be like maybe three of these people have a chance of winning. Everyone else can go. So I'm very, very happy with the way it's turning out so far.
I cannot see that for Tara though. I think when I forget that you're in the house, yes,
true,
that is a good thing in terms of you're not on a lot of people's radar, but she's such an easy, like, oh, we can just put Tara up because we're not aligned with her. We don't know her. It almost feels like she came into the house when the feeds turned on. Like we all came into the house at the same time where we're behind, she's behind as well. So it's like, I don't know what she was doing before the feeds came on this past week, but you know, she's just been sitting around, it seems, because she's trying to do something, but it's not like it's a little too late.
Although to be fair, that it's like only like second week. So
right, true.
To be fair, like anything could happen. Even just today, like we did not see, or at least I did not see Jed calling a house meeting and like totally ruining his good like standing. I don't know. I just feel like that was a shock. I thought Jed was in one of the best positions in the house. I was very impressed with him. And then all of a sudden he calls this house meeting for no reason. Like, I mean, honestly, can we talk about this house meeting? I know it's like we have like the whole week to get through, but like, this was crazy. I mean,
yes. Okay. So
it wasn't just, crazy.
Just to,
but
to set it up a little bit, and we'll get to it in the recap, but obviously, with Austin's HOH, Josh, and Rohan up on the block at the end of the week, we have Josh fighting to stay. And he was coming up with some tactics to some stories to tell, to try and save himself from eviction. And those stories were getting out, and so many of them involved Jed, and so Jed decided that it would be a good idea to get this all out in the open and clear the air.
Never a good idea.
Yeah,
never a good idea to call a house meeting. Like never. I mean, it's a good idea to have a for us as the viewer, and then possibly for somebody like who is in a bad position. Maybe they can kind of like like kind of get back into the sidelines, you know, I kind of inch back towards the bushes, I guess, because someone else might put a target on themselves. But it's not a good idea to call a house meeting, especially when, like, who cares? Like, there really wasn't anything, like, there was no logic behind it, in my opinion. Like, okay, Jed, like, someone said your name, a few people said your name, maybe, who cares? This person who supposedly said your name is going out the door, right? Like, everyone's in agreement that Josh is leaving, so why do you care if he said your name? And also, like, I mean, to hear basically Tina and Toya talking afterwards, being like, what was the point of that? Okay, Jed, your name was said, but this is Big Brother and everyone's going to say everybody's name. So it doesn't matter. Like, if you have a problem or you think that someone's saying your name and you want to confront them, like, do that on your own together. Just the two of you hash it out. Like, don't involve everybody. Don't bring up certain, it creates drama. I mean, it's good for us, but like, as a player, it's not good for you.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like you said, like LaToya said, if people are going to say your name, it's Big Brother, so they're going to say your name. But, you know, did Jed really come out of this looking terrible to the people that he's aligned with? Like, it seemed like, I know Beth stopped it. She's like, all right, enough. But she's at the bottom of that totem pole anyway.
I don't think he necessarily is like in immediate danger, but I do think that it doesn't look good for him. And I think it also puts the idea in people's heads that, like, okay, number one, he's possibly like kind of unpredictable. You know, he might call a house meeting. He might call you out. Like, if you say something about him, he's going to like go after you. Who knows what's going to happen. And then I think also the fact that people are talking about, like, why was that necessary? Why did you call that house meeting? Like, I think that puts him in a bad light. So I don't necessarily think that he's like, okay, well, he's in trouble. Like, forget Jed, he's out. But I think that it also affects my vision of him. And I feel like it also affected Tina and LaToya's vision, at least from the conversation I heard, that, like, okay, he's not really like a strategic mind. Like, he doesn't necessarily have that quality. I don't trust him as much. I feel like it kind of makes him lose trust.
Yeah, I think if Josh leaves this week, I think it'll be a situation where if Jed can just kind of like fall back, do his thing, and then get to a point where he's like, look, I'm not afraid to call people out, and can kind of use that to his advantage in a certain situation where they're like, okay, well, I know I don't want to betray Jed or say something about him because I know that he has the capability of calling out and exposing my game. Let's say there's a point where LaToya or Tina want to turn on him. And they're like, well, we don't want him putting all of our business out there in a house meeting. So maybe let's not for right now. It wasn't a good look, but I could see him turning it around just depending on how he plays it going into next week.
I'll play like the case here for or plead the case here for Jed. I actually feel like this could help in some ways, especially because it wasn't him calling somebody out for saying his name as much as it was, hey, let's get to the bottom of, you're claiming that somebody else is saying my name. So it was kind of, it was much more Josh versus Roe than it was Josh versus Jed. And I think because of that, like, the sort of the mentality that you may come out of this meeting feeling is maybe like, why was Jed doing that? But also, man, I hope I don't get caught saying Jed's name. Like, I don't want to have to be in a house meeting
concerning.
About this.
Like, I feel like that would be concerning to me. Like, it would make me not want to work with Jed, because it would make me think, like, if I say something to Jed and I like maybe don't necessarily want to give names, or maybe I don't want to, like, I don't have the information to back it up or whatever. Like, if I'm just trying to like communicate something to him, like, hey, I heard this, and I think like, okay, but if I say something, he's going to immediately turn around and use that information against me. Like, I wouldn't give him any more information.
But so I don't think, like, he exposed any ally information or anything like that.
I mean, like, I mean, like, anybody, like, not just an ally, like, it's like anybody gives him information. So, like, for example, like, Josh gives him information saying, like, hey, I heard that, like, Ro said this about you or whatever. If I'm Josh, I no longer want to give him information. If I'm anyone watching this happen to Josh, I'm like, okay, that freaks me out about giving him information unless I have the absolute like receipts to back it up. Like unless I have, I tell him specifically who said it and like when they said it. There is sometimes information you don't want to fully divulge and you just want them to know like the gist of it is that you're in trouble versus like, hey, this person said this and this person said that. I don't know. I just feel like it makes me wary.
One of the interesting things that I thought that was that had happened in this meeting is that basically Josh was claiming that Roe was trying to get Jed on the block, trying to get Jed backdoored. And Roe had claimed to Jed the day before that Josh was the one doing that. And throughout the conversation, Jed very firmly asserted that he thought Josh was lying, but he never actually said, because Roe came to me already. He already told me this information. He never exposed the fact that he had that information. He went to Roe afterwards and he was like, dude, you already told me. Like, obviously I knew, like, you know, I wasn't concerned. And so I didn't get the, like, I hear you for sure, because I think that for me overall, the fact that he wants to be in a House meeting speaks to a certain level of, you know, as maybe Roe called it, like an emotional side of his game that, mm-hmm. Is like a lot less, you know, sort of calculated than say a Ty, who probably never would have started something like this. But at the same time, I'm not sure that it was really, very bad for his game at all.
We'll have to see. I sensed, I could be totally off here, but in the conversation that, and I know I keep like hearkening back to this, but like, I do think that this was significant because I think that in the conversation that Tina and LaToya had like immediately following, it seemed like their opinion on Jed had been changed. I don't think it was like, we can never work with him, but I do think it was kind of like, okay, what's the point of that? Like, why did he do that? And I think if you're starting to question like why your allies are doing something, that's concerning. I don't know. It might mean nothing. He could just blend into the background. Totally, totally, totally. But I do think that like it would give me pause if my ally was like, let's call a House meeting. I'm going to get this out in the open, because that to me, it's like makes me think that person is dangerous just because you don't know what move they're going to make. They're volatile. Like, you know, it's like, you don't know.
Yeah. I think it would make a difference if it wasn't Josh. Like, they know Josh they see him as already at a house. Right. And so I think that if this were, let's say, Austin, if she wasn't HOH, or it was Roe and he wasn't on the block, then yeah, that can linger because, you know, he's still going to be here. They're still going to be here the next week. But with it being Josh, yes, they're going to remember the House meeting happening, but I think it could fade the longer that Jed is there and the more that things like transpire over the next few weeks. I say all that to say I haven't liked how they've been treating Josh. I think this is a once in a lifetime experience for most people that do end up getting to play. And it sucks that they're shunning him and just not giving him the time of day. They already see that he's out the door. They're already referring to him in past tense. So that sucks. So it sucks that they've had this House meeting to further ostracize him. Which also
what's the point? Like, what was even the point of this House meeting at all? Like, just to make Josh feel bad? Like, I just feel like it's like, okay, he's out the door. Everybody's saying they're going to vote for him. Like, I mean, it's like, why just keep piling on? Like, what do you need to get out of this and why? Like, if you already think that Josh is lying to you, like, if you already think he's just spreading lies, trying to stay, which is what everyone's been saying, like, why not just like be like, okay, well, guys, like, ignore Josh. He's going to run around saying stuff. Like, he's just trying to save himself. Like, he's already out the door. Like, forget him. Like, let's not get into this. Like, why get into this? And I feel like I honestly wasn't upset with the way that like Jed was treating Josh or anything during this meeting. There was nothing like that concerned me with Jed. I just didn't understand why he decided it was important to call this meeting. But in terms of like the way Josh was being treated, I really didn't like the way Roe was talking to him. I felt like it was super condescending. And I'm absolutely fine. And I feel like I got heat on this on Twitter because it was like, well, he's allowed to argue back. You know, he's allowed to defend himself. He's on the block too. And it's like, totally, I get that. Absolutely. If he wants to defend himself, that's totally fine. It was when the conversation switched to like being super condescending and when basically calling, they brought up the fact that Josh said that he was smarter than everyone in the house. And it's fine to bring that up. But then to say like, yeah, well, you know, wouldn't it be like, wouldn't you be able to think about what you want to say before you say it if you were actually smart? Right. That would mean that you'd have to be able to do that. It was like, that is so, so condescending. Like I get really like upset when people, when I think people are acting like they think I'm stupid. Like I do not like to feel stupid. So when somebody, if somebody was talking like that to me, I mean, it was awful. And people were saying on Twitter, like, but he was laughing the whole time. Like it was fine. That's even worse. The condescending laughing is even worse. Like, I just feel like to me, like it was super condescending. And like, the fact that poor Josh was just like, well, I was just trying to say that sometimes I have a lot of thoughts in my mind. And they're like, yeah, well, really? That's what you're trying to say? Like, it's, I can't. It was not for me. Like, I did not like that. I have no problem with Rowan, like, defending himself and being like, no, I never said that. Or getting upset or, you know, yelling, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just like the condescending thing to me was like, I hated it. So yeah, that I did not like this meeting. I felt really uncomfortable the whole time while watching it. And I did not like the way Rohan was talking to Josh at all. And yeah, I mean, it was not a fun house meeting for me.
I think the reason that it happened was because like they were saying like, oh, we should do a house meeting tomorrow. And they're like, well, he's just going to keep running around spreading these lies. And I think they realize, okay, he is actually still in the house. And all it takes is one person to believe what he's saying. And they think where there's smoke, there's fire. So, you know, him putting little bugs in people's ears, even though they can all agree this is a lie, somebody might think, well, no, I did see Ty and Jed talking, and that could be true. Like, maybe not everything he says is a lie. And I think they realize, like, no, we want it up and we want to nip it in the bud right now because he is still here for a couple more days. So I think that's why it happened so immediately. And they didn't decide to wait or not have it at all is because they realized, okay, people might actually start to believe what he's saying.
Also, like, let me just really quickly also bring up the fact that, like, sorry, I haven't like gotten to talk about this since last, what was it, Wednesday, since the premiere. So I'm like kind of all built up here. But I also want to say that when Austin then gets upset that Josh is like, yeah, you're my target. And she's like, why? Why would I be your target? It's like, literally, you put me on the block. And she's like, oh, so now I'm your target? Really? It's like, yeah, that's literally the only, like, what else is there? Dude, like, that's the only reason? That's your only reason? It's like, yes, that is my only reason. And it's sufficient. Like, first of all, I don't need a reason to want to target you. Like, it could be literally anything. Like, this is a game. But also, like, yeah, that's literally the reason that everybody uses, like, even just as an excuse. Like, okay, he put me on the block. Like, that's an easy reason to go back at them. Like, it doesn't. Ah, God, I didn't like the whole thing was just like, he's allowed to say he has a target. He's allowed to put out names like as potential other people to put on the block so that he's not the one going home. Like, he's allowed to say that stuff. This is Big Brother. Like, what's the problem?
It's because they see him as evicted. They're like, mm-hmm. How do you have targets when you're not in the house?
Yeah totally.
It's honestly kind of interesting to me because, you know, this is, we see this every season, this kind of behavior, this kind of treatment of somebody who's on the outs. But it does feel like this season, it's almost like, it's obviously not a big enough step, but it's almost like they've taken at least a little bit of a step forward in that they tend to be much more self-aware about what's happening. Where like in season 21, they were like, what do you mean bullying? What is that even? What is that word? How are you saying those syllables in a sequence? If anything, we were being bullied. Whereas in this season, you know, you do get, you know, people like Kiefer and Toya, who are people who have treated Josh poorly, recognizing, you know what, Josh is kind of being treated poorly, you know? And then in this meeting, you have people like Beth being like, guys, enough. Yeah. We get it. And then, like, immediately after, she's, like, ignoring him and, like, won't talk to him. Yeah. But, like, they can see what it is, and it's almost like they're trying to stop. It's almost like they're, like, we don't want to do this. And they keep saying it, like, I like Josh. Like, I don't want to isolate him. But he's making it so hard on us.
I really wish I knew what he had done, like what his meltdown was. I feel like there's references to it, but I wish like I knew exactly what they're talking about with like this meltdown, because they're basically using that as like the fodder to like why he's not a part of us, like why he's outside of the group. Mm-hmm. And I don't know like what that means, like what kind of meltdown is it? Because it's like it's there's a difference between if it's like a Vanessa style meltdown where she's like crying in the first few days, like, and she just like can't get it together, versus like someone like yelling and screaming and like, you know, going after people. Like that's a totally different kind of meltdown. And I could see why if someone is doing that, that like, okay, whoa, I'm taking a step back, we're not going to connect, versus someone who's just like sad. Like, I don't know.
I fully don't believe it was anything bad. I mean, especially like from Josh's perspective, at least. Because I think afterward he was talking to Vic, and Vic was like, hey, you know, you handled it well. Like, you didn't freak out. Like, you were calm the whole time. And he was like, yeah, I mean, honestly, that's me. I mean, apart from the breakdown I had before, like, that wasn't even about game. That was about, like, real life stuff. Like his meltdown, quote unquote, right? I don't think that it... I just can't see Josh being an outwardly... like scream at somebody else kind of meltdown person. I see him more as like maybe defending himself, maybe then like, I don't know. I don't know what it was, real life stuff that made him break down, but I can't imagine it was an outward thing. It was probably an internal thing. And either way, I do think it's being used as an excuse. And I mean, I think what kind of happens here is that like, as an individual, you feel like, this person makes me feel uncomfortable. It's weird to be around him. I try to give him information, then he turns around and uses it against me. Like, I'm feeling burned, and like, I don't want to be around him very much. And as an individual, that's a little bit more acceptable, right? Like, like I just need to sort of like avoid this person because they're bad for my game and it's uncomfortable around them. But in a situation where there's a group of people and they all feel that way, and they're all communicating with each other about how they feel that way, and they're all kind of coordinating their avoidance and isolation, it right. becomes something bigger, and they're recognizing that it's becoming something bigger than they intend, but they're powerless to stop it from happening. And that's what we're seeing. And that's, you know, what's interesting to me, in not a nice way, but, in terms of like a, you know, how does this kind of thing happen kind of way, I feel like it's something worth looking at.
Yeah. It makes me sad. And I guess confused, just because like, I personally don't understand why people feel uncomfortable around him, or like, I mean, obviously we're not actually sitting there in the house communicating with him. We don't know exactly like what he's like, what it's like to like hang out with him. But like I can imagine, what I see,
I can imagine like talking to, you know, to Josh and him being like, I think I'm just too smart, guys. I think I'm just too smart for this house is why I'm in trouble. And you're just like, all right, Josh. Like, I get it. Right. But that doesn't mean that you need to treat him in the way that he's being treated. Right.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, it's just weird to me, because like, he seems like he's trying to get along with people and trying to talk with people and hang out with people, even if it's not like, I don't know, I just feel like I don't quite understand it. And it makes me sad to see. And, you know, it's like, when like Ovi, like, everyone in the beginning was like, oh, Ovi makes me uncomfortable. Ovi's like weird. He's just like baking cookies all the time. And like, he makes me feel uncomfortable. He wants a hug or whatever. Like, I didn't understand that. And I don't understand this, you know, it's like, I don't get like where that's coming from. And maybe it is something that just like happened the first week, where like people like tried to connect with him and it just like didn't happen for one reason or another. And that now, like, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't click with them, but it does seem odd to me that like everyone is not only just not clicking with him, but like, yeah, like you said, communicating with each other how much they don't want to be around him. Like, that's where it, I think, turns bad. It turns sour that way. It's like one person just being like, yeah, we don't connect, we don't click, versus like everybody being like, oh, I don't want to be in the same room as him.
Mm-hmm. He's the type of person that it takes time to really get to know him. Like, you can tell, like, he's eccentric. Like, he's just, it takes time to really get to know him. And I mean, there are people like that. And I think the fact that a lot of these people probably haven't met someone like Josh, or they don't have anybody in their circle or in their life that they come across like Josh. So a lot of these times, no matter what the situation is, especially because this season is so diverse, we even see it in past seasons when it's just like difference yep. makes people uncomfortable. And it's just, it so happens that Josh is the one that is different in mm-hmm. this situation just because of how he is. Like he even said he's an introvert, which yep. You don't typically see introverts on Big Brother. So I think they just don't understand that, okay, if we accept him for his differences, then maybe we can just get along with him until he leaves this week. But it's just like, why can't I get there? And it's because he's different and they don't know how to just take a beat and accept it.
Yeah. And I feel like I do want to be clear that like, I don't view what they're doing to Josh as like bullying. Like I haven't really seen like bullying in this situation. I've seen like isolating, which like isn't great. Like, but it's not really like, it seems to me more like, oh, we want to hang out. Josh isn't in the room with us, like, or we're going to hang out in this room and Josh is over by himself. Like, I haven't really seen like the bullying. And I feel like the bullying that I think of is especially like from Big Brother 19, Big Brother 21. Like, that's like the bullying that like I people usually like think about when it comes to like Big Brother bullying. And I'm not seeing that here. So like, I'm glad we're not seeing that. It does make me sad that like people don't want to hang out with him, but like, it has not been anywhere near like the targeted bullying or like harassment that we've seen before. So like, I just want to make that clear. And you know, there are a lot of people in the house that are like, hey, you know, we should try and make his time good. Like we shouldn't be trying to isolate him. Like we should, if we already know he's going home, like there's no threat in like having us like just hang out with him or talk with him or be nice to him. Like Victoria has said it, Kyle has said it. Like, I mean, Tina and Latoya were like, you don't need to feel weird about hanging out with us. Like, Josh, we don't feel weird about being with you after that house meeting or whatever. Like, I feel like it's been fine in terms of that sort of thing. It's just, yeah, I just feel like the house meeting was not great. But other than that, I haven't really seen like bullying.
Yeah. And I was kind of, you know, it was interesting for me watching Kyle immediately after the house meeting. Kyle is one of the people who got called out, got like a tiny bit heated in the discussion. But immediately after the meeting went right up to Josh and was like, hey, dude, I understand. Like you're playing the game. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. No hard feelings. Like, I hope you don't feel like isolated or bad. And then afterward, Kyle was like, man, I hope I didn't go too overboard when we were getting into it. I don't want to make it personal. I thought like I appreciated that from Kyle. Mm-hmm. I believe Ro has apologized since then as well. So like, it's again, it's like they are, you know, it's leagues ahead of, you know, Jacksons.
This is not that. This is not that at all. So like, I know we're like treating it like it's like so serious, but it really honestly is not like that. And even Josh has been like, look, this is all like, this is all inside the house. Like outside the house, we can all like hang out and be friends, like no problem. Like it's not as serious as we're making it seem. Like for those people who haven't like seen the feeds and are just getting information from us, like don't be alarmed. Like don't be alarmed.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode is made possible by PwC. A robot may not be coming for your job, but competitors are coming for your market share. At PwC, we pair the right tech with the right solutions to help you gain a competitive edge. Reimagine operations from the cloud, fuel innovation with responsible AI, and detect risks before they become headlines. That's human-led and tech-powered. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
All right. Well, let's get you guys caught up to speed for how did we get here? How did we get to this house meeting?
How did we get here? Seriously.
So let's try and figure out how we don't know exactly what happened last week in the first week of feeds that we did not see. But from what we've kind of been able to piece together, the game started, the team defenders were vulnerable for eviction, and pretty quickly, Josh didn't fit in. He seemed to be a target. It's still kind of unclear whether he was a target before he started talking about pretty boys or not. My guess is that he was. On day three, Josh, proclaimed that there was a Pretty Boys 2.0 alliance, and something happened. There was some kind of meltdown with him. He was clearly proven wrong. Somehow.
Also, can I just say really quick, I know I'm just kind of interjecting, but I'm going to do it. the fact that people are upset that he's bringing up hey, there might be a Pretty Boys 2.0 here, cause all the guys are hanging out. That's fine. He's allowed to bring that up. You're allowed to speculate
about should be a topic of conversation every season.
Right. Why wouldn't that be a topic of conversation? And the people, I get that the guys who are involved in that, potential pretty boys would be upset about it, but everyone else is why would you even say that? It's because we should be looking around at who's hanging out with each other and kind of notice, hey, we want to make sure these people aren't, too connected or whatever. Have you noticed that all the guys are hanging out, or have you noticed that these girls hang out? That should be something you talk about. It would be bizarre if you didn't talk about it, and we'd be sitting here screaming at the feeds being talk about it. Why is no one mentioning this? So I don't see a problem at all with Josh bringing that up, putting that out there. And the fact that people are holding that against him now is crazy. He's fully willing to admit maybe there isn't a Pretty Boys alliance. I thought maybe there was. Okay, if you guys are saying there's not and everyone's believing that there's not, okay, there's not. I don't see the problem.
Yeah. And you can tell too that somebody gets caught saying something that's not true. You're all nervous in the first week. Oh, I can't believe that person did that. Oh, terrible. And now you can even hear it. Some people, when they talk about Josh, they say, it's hard to turn off how I think this was Tara. I feel bad. But I have to turn off my empathy, and I have to remember oh, he did this to himself. Remember day three. It is literally a training wheels for turning not having to feel bad. It's the excuse that you can use. And you don't have to think through was it justified? No, that's too much thought.
Totally. I know. Yeah, totally. And even in the house meeting, they were saying you brought this on yourself, Josh. Look what you've done. Mm-hmm. Look at the mess you've made. It's he hasn't done anything. What the heck is going on here? I just I cannot understand it.
At this point, we're old a flashback, because if they're going to use this, I'm really interested to see how they're going to edit this on Wednesday and Thursday to justify how they're treating Josh in terms of ostracizing him. And I want them to flashback to this day three meltdown just so we can see it and we can understand, because it doesn't make any sense.
Right. I wish they would show us what they're even talking about. I mean, maybe it's it's not even relevant at this point. It's relevant to us feed watchers, but I feel for the narrative, it's they can find a million things, a million reasons why people want Josh out.
Guarantee you, they already used the pros and cons list. That's going to be the reason everyone hates Josh in the show. Right. Oh, he said cons about you. What? And then house meeting, oh, you already did this to yourself, Josh, cons list.
And they were why would anyone, why would you bring up so many names? It's why wouldn't you bring up so many names? I was literally having to sit there and step back while I was watching this house meeting. Why is this even a question? Why is this a problem?
Josh, why are you trying to play Big Brother? Why are you doing
this? The rest of us aren't doing this. We're not playing.
So Josh was the target last week, for the entire week up until the very last minute, not the very last minute, but the last minute, where the vote was flipped primarily by Toya. So we've heard it said by the Sunsetters. I don't know exactly what sparked this, but Toya was the one pulling people into rooms, telling them to flip the vote.
Can I say that, like, really quick? Sorry, I know I just like keep you. You can't even get like a full sentence out. But like, I haven't been on the show since I haven't been on a podcast since the first episode. So like, why is no one talking about that super weird LaToya moment in the episode where Julie was trying to talk to her and was like, "Hey, I heard you said my name or whatever," and she's like, "I'm going to the hot tub. Like, I'm in my own mindset right now. I'm not going to entertain this conversation." And it was like a simple question of like, "Hey, did you say this?" And she's just like acting so suspicious, like, and just shuts the conversation down immediately. What was that?
Well, we've since learned that LaToya is very against actively lying in the game. So
if she feels like she has to lie, she just like walks
genuinely
away.
Yes, I think that that's what she was doing. She said on the feeds, "I never lied to Julie. I was very careful about it. I never said a single lie to Julie." So instead of like standing there and denying it, she just noped out of there. Yeah,
that's insane. I feel like that would made it so uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would have been better for her had she just been like, "Yeah, I did say that, but you know, blah blah blah." Like, instead it just made her look so suspicious, and right. It also made her look really unfriendly, I guess. Like, I don't know, like very like hard to get along with. Like, if someone said that to me when I was trying to ask them a question about something and they were just like, "I'm not entertaining this conversation," just walked away, I'd be like, okay, guess this person hates me.
Yeah, immediately I thought she just doesn't handle confrontation well. And I was like, oh, this is going to go terribly in this house. But then when I find out that she can't lie, I'm like, girl, that is the name of the game. That's
she's
like,
gonna end up lying. Like, there's exactly. No way she can keep this up.
Well, you're in this hidden alliance. Like, it's gonna happen.
It's mm-hmm. it's like when people are like, oh, if you ask, a cop has to tell you that they're a cop. Like, it's like she believes in that.
Yeah, like, oh God, I hope I don't have to say it. Yeah, it's so crazy. I honestly, like, that moment was just like shocking to me. Because I had never really seen that before, I guess, in Big Brother, where it's like someone asks you a question and you're just like, yeah, I'm not having this conversation. I'm just leaving. Especially like week one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the vote was flipped. Part of the reason was that the Sunsetters felt like Josh would be a nice distraction in the following week, which turned out to be true. And they all kind of patted themselves on the back, LaToya especially, for making this happen. Because, you know, if Julie was still in the game, Austin would not be nominating Julie. And that would mean much more dangerous positions for the Sunsetters. So we also had the Sunsetters form in the first week. The Sunsetters consist of, and we'll go into a little more detail about the structure of the house in a little bit of time. But the Sunsetters consist of LaToya, Ty, Jed, Tina, Kiefer, and Beth. Now, Beth was a late addition to the Sunsetters, according to what we have been able to piece together. It was initially a 5-person alliance without Beth. But according to Jed, on Jed's sort of prompting, they did pull Beth in as a 6th. And they talked about how the teams don't matter. It's a trick. Let's make an alliance with both sides and we can run the game, which is very true. And they are running the game. Austin wins the HOH, and she does basically what the Sunsetters want. They can't avoid her nominating Kiefer because of how the teams are structured and the fact that he actively rooted against her in the competition. But they know that Kiefer is 100% safe because even if somebody comes down like Josh, Ro will go up. They'll have the numbers to keep Kiefer, and Ro will go home. Or if Josh stays on the block, Josh will go home. So they're all fine. And those are going to be the nominations, Kiefer and Josh. And we're going to see that Kyle and Ro, while this is happening, are going to try and build some kind of counter alliance to what they see as the majority in the house at that time, at least, which is Ty, Jed, Beth, Austin, and Brayden. And so they try to pull in LaToya and Kiefer and Tina and Tara as numbers to kind of fight against what they see as the majority. Now, obviously, they were wrong. LaToya, Tina, and Kiefer are all part of the majority. LaToya and Kiefer ratted them out. So Tina did not, but LaToya and Kiefer did. And that means that when Kiefer wins the veto and Ro goes up as the replacement, the Sunsetters consider, should we flip this vote? I mean, Kyle and Roe together are pretty dangerous. They're trying to put together some kind of alliance that doesn't include some of us, and they seem to be coming after some of us. Should we flip this vote? A large portion of the alliance wanted to. In fact, all of them were down for it, except for Tina, the only person who didn't rat Kyle and Roe out. Tina puts a stop to the flip. She says no. She convinces Toya that it shouldn't go down. Toya helps convince Ty and Ro actually does some good work and tells Jed that Josh was trying to get him on the block. Tina talks talks Kiefer down. She also talks to Beth. And by the next day, everyone is saying, we don't think it's a good idea to make this flip happen. And nobody even seems to have recognized that a large portion of this did come from Tina. So with that, Josh is still on the way out the door, and this is when he came up with his plan to sort of spread some information. First, he was going to say that Ro wanted to backdoor Jed. He wanted to say that he was willing to be a pawn for everyone. He wanted to expose Austin's part in the Day 3 scandal, which I assume just means that she was in on conversations about the Pretty Boys 2.0. And then he wants to go after Austin as his target. And so that's what he was kind of spreading around when Jed decided, all right, if you're just going to be spreading this stuff, let's get it all out into the open. And the house meeting was called. And that's what we were talking about.
Can we talk about how Austin blew this HOH?
Yes.
Like, how are you not in the, like, you are the first HOH. It's textbook, like, modern day Big Brother, that the major alliance forms around you. First of all, you're not in that alliance. And then you end up with two people on the block at the end of the week who are not in that alliance.
Yeah.
Like, how does she manage to blow this so, like, majorly? Like, it blows my mind, because leaving this HOH, she is in a terrible position. I mean, she might have a person or two. She has Beth, who Beth is like googly eyed at Ty and Jed. And so, like, she's literally going to be, you know, further down on Beth's radar. And I'm like, what did you do with this HOH? I know you were thinking, like, oh, I want the people to come to me. First of all, only half the house even was eligible. So the people on her team didn't even feel compelled to come talk to her, because they had no reason to. And it just was a massive fail. And I think she feels like, I did good. I got out the person that everybody wanted out.
Does.
Right. I feel like, yeah, if she was more concerned, like, coming out of this situation, like, if she was like, oh, that kind of didn't go the way I wanted, I'd feel better about her. But the yes. fact that she's just like, yeah, okay, cool, that was great, awesome, good job, guys, it's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
You do not understand what just happened. I'm a little worried about her.
It is worth pointing out that obviously there was a first week where a majority alliance formed before she was HOH. So it's not like she had the full powers of the first week HOH. And on top of that, the teams did really limit her options. But even accounting for all of that, she played it really poorly. She missed a lot of opportunities. She really just wasted so much time just, like, hanging out with Brayden, not really talking to anyone else. And Brayden isn't even, like, the person that she really talks strategy with. Like, she's not even, it's not even that it's like, okay, this is somebody who's on the outs, who's got, like, one really solid ally, and, like, maybe if some twists break their way, they can make a run at things like a Sarah and Brittany or something. It's instead, you've got, she's telling all of, like, her secrets to Jed and Ty and Beth, the people in the majority who are just using her as a number. And poor Brayden is just sitting, just flopping out in the wind.
Yeah.
Totally exposed.
Yeah, it's not good. It's honestly, like, it doesn't make any sense to me, because, yeah, like you said, I thought, oh, okay, Brayden and her are the two, it's the two of them versus everybody. They're going to talk strategy together. They're going to figure it out. Like, you know, she's not in the majority, but she has a number one ally, and at least the two of them can do some damage. And it's like, oh no, but she's giving all this information to everyone else, and she doesn't see it that way. Like, she's not seeing it the way we're seeing it. And so it's not going to be good. I mean, and also the fact that a lot of people have her name in their mouths. Like, it's not like, oh, she's just going to fade into the background. I do think people are like thinking about her and needing, wanting to get her out. Maybe not immediately, but I do think people want to get her out pretty soon. I mean, because the big alliance is a big alliance and she's not in it.
She nominated three people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And
like, wait, and Kiefer wants to get her out and he's in the big alliance. Like, Ro probably doesn't feel great about her, probably.
I can easily imagine a situation where Ro wins HOH next week, decides because Tina's in his ear, or I don't even know, maybe Tina wants him to take a shot at this point. I don't know yet, but decides he's gonna not take the big shot. And instead, he's going to try and do something a little trickier. And hey, Austin's a perfect pawn because she put me on the block. But guess what? There's a majority alliance. And if Austin's still on the block at the end of the week, she's going home. And so that's like, she is just doing the dirty work of the majority and not getting anything in return for it. She put up three people. None of them were even coming for her prior to that. You know, it's not great. Like the HOH. It used to be much more of a double-edged sword than it is nowadays, because it was always about like, hey, you get power, but then you're a threat and you're going to come, people are going to come for you. You just put people up that piss them off. People have learned how to game the HOH in recent days of Big Brother. If you win HOH, it's normally a very good thing for you. But only if you do it right.
Right. It's not just immediately a good thing.
And so if you do it wrong, it is a very bad thing. And I think that is what we are going to see here. Which is not to say that she's like obviously the next boot or anything like that. But in terms of like, what does this say about her game moving forward? Some bad things. And is she in a good spot? No,
not at all. I mean, it was shocking to me to find out, like, once feeds came on and everything, that she wasn't super well positioned in the majority alliance, like ready to go. I mean, she was HOH. The thought now is like, I mean, every modern day season, the first HOH ends up in the majority alliance because everybody is coming to them, trying to talk to them, you know, wanting information. I mean, and I get that she was kind of stifled with the teams thing because not everybody needed to come to her. But at the same time, like, there's an easy way to do this where you bring your own team in and say, like, look, like, how should we do this? Like, make it kind of a group talk or whatever. Like, who should we nominate? Whatever. You get them on board, then whoever else you want to bring in from the other side. Like, I just don't understand why it wasn't even a thought.
And Toya was able to play her like a fiddle. I mean, in the HOH competition, she made a deal that was barely even a deal. And then drops. Now Toya's safe and she knows exactly what Austin is going to do. And Austin does it like it's and it's the same thing. Pretty similar to what Toya would have done. You know, obviously, Toya couldn't have nominated the same people. But in terms of just like get out some random person who it doesn't impact the majority alliance or isn't involved in the majority alliance. And so, you know, Toya was able to tactfully throw this HOH to Austin so that Austin would make this stuff happen for them. Mm-hmm. And when the feeds came on, we learned about who was going to go up on the block from Toya before Austin had even decided.
Yep.
Right.
And also, like, also the fact that, like, even at the end of the day, okay, she's not in a majority alliance. She's, you know, getting out someone who's not in the majority alliance. Like, none of that is good. But also, not only that, but she's getting out someone who literally has nobody. Like, who's not a threat, who doesn't have anyone to work with.
Never would have come after Austin prior to this.
Right, exactly. It's like, why not? And especially because he would, I mean, the fact that he came to her initially to talk about, like, hey, look out for these pretty boys 2.0 or whatever. Like, he had enough trust in her and enough, like, good rapport with her that he felt comfortable coming to her with this information, or at least like talking to her about openly about these types of things, or talking to her about potential targets or whatever. You know, it's like he felt like he could come to her and she just like is getting him out for everyone else. I mean, at the very least, like get out Ro because he has a connection to Kyle and they're like a tight bond. I just feel like why not get out somebody, not just someone alone? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. And I'm not sure why she's not seeing it like she wants Joss to go home and she's not seeing it as a situation of, okay, if Ro stays, him and Kyle, we could team up. And I mean, she doesn't know that the Sunsetters are there, but it's like, why is she not thinking bigger picture of like, and, or in making it happen? Not just, oh, like these people want to work with us, Brayden. She needs to be making things happen before she's out of the HOH room, and she's not thinking that way. So I'm like, I'm not high on Austin at all. And I can already see it now, a situation where she ends up on the block next week because they're out of options because they can only pick from one team. Like if Team Destiny loses, she ends up on the block. She's going to be heartbroken trying to see how did this happen? How did this even happen? I was good with these people. I thought I was good with this person. So I'm like, I want you to remember that when you think back to your time of just chilling as an HOH.
Yeah. I didn't even get started on the fact that like her target shifted with the wind. She wanted Kiefer out, but before Kiefer had even won the veto, the majority without even trying convinced her Josh should be the one to go. And then just within like an exploratory conversation, Beth was like, well, what if we did flip it on Ro? And she was like, maybe we could do that. And then they were like, never mind. And she was like, right, never mind. That's right. That's the right call. Oh, boy.
You should like have a target if you're the HOH. Like, because otherwise, like, it switches so much and you end up pissing people off. Like, you end up with people upset with you, like, oh, okay, so you were trying to target me. Oh, okay, I wasn't just a pawn or whatever. It's not good.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the state of the house here. Obviously, we have the Sunsetters. Again, that's Ty, Jed, Toya, Tina, Beth, and Kiefer. They are running the game. Hands down, they're running. They are the only real alliance in the house. There are two other kind of alliances that I'm going to list off here, and I named them Side Alliance 1 and Side Alliance 2. And Side Alliance 1 is Ty, Jed, Beth, and Austin. This is, I think, primarily even in any kind of existence because Austin is HOH. It happened before Austin was HOH, but I doubt that there would be much talking here. These four people are in an alliance that started week one. This is the alliance that Austin thinks that she's in good with, thinks that she's running the house with. And as an HOH, she's had maybe three conversations about the alliance to individuals. They've never been in a group together. They like very rarely talk strategy with one another. It's very much just like they're having an affair, Austin. Like, you're the affair, you know. They barely come around.
Yes, it's like she's the other woman.
Yeah, how can you think you're in an alliance with people if like you've never gotten in a room together and like just saying to each other, like, I feel good about these people? Like, that doesn't mean anything until everyone's in a room and everybody's like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're working together. And I understand like initial conversations can just be like, hey, I feel good about you. I feel good about him and him. Like, let's, you know, try and make something happen. That can totally be an initial conversation. But if it never goes any further than that, that means nothing. That means there is no alliance. Like, sorry.
Yeah. So that's the first side alliance. Side alliance number two is a little more interesting. It's Tina, Tara, Kyle, and Ro. This is a little less formal because they have not really finalized it yet. Kyle and Ro have been searching for some kind of alliance. Tina is the only one of the Sunsetters that was, ambitious enough to accept the offer and run with it. Tara obviously is down for it because she has nothing else. So she's in. And so they're still trying to sort of find if they can get anybody else. They won't be able to. Obviously, Ro has a good relationship with Brayden, but Brayden's connection to Austin and Austin's sort of like situation with Ty, Jed, and Beth, I think will prevent anything from happening there. And then they think that maybe they can talk to Kiefer. They already tried with Toya.
Why not Victoria?
They did also mention Victoria. So Kiefer and Victoria are their latest sort of prospects. They're like, maybe we can try with them. Tara's already a little skeptical of Kiefer, and so she tried to warn them about that. But they may also try with Victoria. Victoria is an interesting person. I don't have Victoria anywhere on the State of the House because she's yeah. like the only just like truly single person in the House. She's trying to get in with Toya, Jed, and Ty, but they don't trust her to not reveal information. She's kind of in with Austin and Brayden, but not too much. I think that Ro and Kyle will maybe try to like approach her, but I don't know how she'll respond to that. I'm really just not sure where she stands or where she wants to stand. She's actually pretty hard to read, even though she is a bit of a talker. She reveals so much information that it's like, well, who are you loyal to?
Totally. I think... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say she's just happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I love that. I feel like you don't really get that very much. Like, you don't get that often where, like, a player is just, like, so happy to be there and, like, wants to stay, doesn't want to leave just because they're there, not because, like, oh, okay, I don't want to leave because I want to win the money or whatever. It's like, I mean, obviously she wants to win, but it's like she just appreciates even just, like, being in the house. It's like a true fan.
Yeah. So that side alliance number two is kind of what Tina's protecting when she's protecting Ro. And she mentioned that she said this to Toya. It was kind of a, you know, blink and you miss it kind of moment. But she said, look, if those guys are in the house and they want to target some of the other guys, that's good for us. So I believe that Tina is actively keeping them around to make sure that she's keeping, Ty and Jed in check. That's kind of the purpose of that alliance, at least for Tina. And then we kind of have a bunch of duos in the house, just like tight relationships. I usually talk about these in the beginning of the game because while they may not be formalized alliances or part of alliances necessarily, they are often what matters down the line when it comes to end game scenarios and also potential new alliances. So Tina and Toya, super tight. They call themselves mm-hmm. Tina and Toya.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
very, very close. Tina and Tara. Also very close. Tina is Toya's number.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at the common denominator here.
Yeah. Right.
The letter Tina T. All over the place. The letter T. Not Tina, but just the letters.
Tina is my number one as well if I was Tina and Taryn. Yeah.
Tina's your number one. Tina's my number one. That's so weird.
Well, unfortunately for you, you don't have a T in your name. So.
That's so true. She doesn't think of me as her number one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tina has two duos there. Ty and Jed, and Ty and Beth. Two duos there. Now obviously there's kind of a Beth and Ty, Beth and Jed, but it's more Beth and Ty. And it's more Ty and Jed, in my opinion. So Ty also has kind of like two different places to go. You have Kyle and Ro, super tight. You have Austin and Brayden, super tight. Those are kind of the duos in the house right now. There are obviously other relationships, like I said, Brayden and Ro are pretty good with each other. You have Beth, I know, just kissed Jed again on the feeds. She kissed Ty the night before.
She was just talking to Ty before we got started about how I can't be in your HOH room because they're just like flirting and they can't even. Yeah, no,
she can't decide. Yeah, she likes them both. I'm surprised the guys are okay with that. I feel like I'd be like, oh, you like you got you're my friend. And she likes you and she likes me. Like, oh, I don't know.
Well, see, I was on record. I said that I don't think this will be a problem, but I think that things are progressing with Ty. And I don't think he wants to be seen as in a showmance or anything like that. But at the same time, like, I don't know how far she will be able to push it with Jed before Ty. I don't think he'd say anything either. I think he'd just kind of be like, I don't like this.
Like, I'll take a step back. I think like flirting in this situation is like totally harmless. I think like once you start like kissing and like all that sort of stuff, like I do feel like that does start to get emotions more involved. It's not just like a nice, sweet, like flirt mance. It's like like you guys are kissing now, but also we've kissed. So now I don't know like what's going on. So yeah, that's where it starts to get more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that it's, if you're gonna have like a flirtmance with multiple people, like stop at the flirting and like don't push it into showmance territory with multiple people.
Right, that's just messy. And like, I mean, she's not in like the best position in the house, but she's also not in the worst. And if you get Ty and Jed against you for some reason, mm-hmm. like, let's say, like you said, Ty starts to catch feelings and then mm-hmm. he's going to get a little jealous of her, you know, massaging Jed's feet. So you don't want to give a reason for two guys that you know are well positioned in the house to want you gone for reasons outside of the game. Like,
also, like, who are friends? Like, because I feel like there's a difference between, like, if you're flirting with someone and then you're flirting with someone, some other person where they have no connection, then like, okay, the guys will go after each other. But I feel like if two guys are friends, it's like the easiest thing to do is just be like, look, let's get rid of her if there's a problem. Like if that's causing tension between the two of us, let's stay strong. Let's get her out. I don't want that to be the situation. I want her to do well. So, I mean, I'm a little, I don't know what she, I mean, maybe she's got it under control. We'll have to see.
All right. Are we ready for this, for the stock watch? Are we ready to rate these players?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's pull it up here. This is what we have for the stock watch. Thank you to, Alexandra for the Krager. I was behind the ball this season. She put it together last minute. She's great. And Mel also helps out with a lot of this stuff. So thank you to both of them. But here we are. We have the stock watch ready to go. We're going to rate these players. How this works is that we go through each player individually. We give them a rating, 1 out of 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. How are they playing this week? There are many different aspects to, you know, the rating, different criteria that you can put in, like, how likely are they to go home next week or be targeted next week? What is their long-term positioning? How have they displayed their game? Like, what, how much faith do you have in them as a player moving forward? Lots of different things that can come into this rating, but we try to narrow it down to 1 number out of 10. We'll each give our rating, and then we have an audience rating as well, and then we'll average those together to get the final rating, which will then be incorporated into stock price, where you can buy and sell shares of the player based on how well you think they're going to do in the game. So let's get started here. Let's start with Austin. We were just talking about Austin. Was not super positive. Asia, we can start with you. Can you tell me what are you feeling number wise here? What's the rating for Austin?
So with Austin, I'm thinking, okay, this is your HOH week. So anytime there's an HOH, thinking how well are you handling it? It went terribly. She's not even in the majority alliance. Even the alliance that she's in is not solid. It's just something that she thinks is a thing. And then what seems to be her closest ally, Brayden, then we watch the episode and it's Beth that they're tied at the hip. I'm like, okay. So what I settled on for Austin, because I think going out of this HOH, she could end up on the block next week, but I don't think that it's a shoe-in that she's going to go home. So I'm giving her a 3.
3. Melissa, you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel great about her game. However, I feel like she missed an opportunity with this week, and she's not getting out someone who would be beneficial for her to get out. However, like, let me just preface, like, the whole rating system right now is that, like, my thoughts on the rating system is that, like, we start out the season and everybody is totally neutral, like, out of 5. And then they can kind of go up or down from there. And so, like, I'm not starting like all across the board. I feel like it's like everyone kind of is a 5. So I feel like a lot this week are going to be kind of like lame ratings where it's kind of just like very bland. Like everyone's kind of hovering around that 5 zone.
What Melissa's trying to tell you is that she has very boring ratings this week.
Yes, essentially. Yes. It's going to be pretty boring, I think. Although who knows? I mean, people are playing really pretty well so far. So, okay. So I guess for Austin, this is a tough one because I think if I'm rating purely based on just like how I felt her HOH reign went, I would give her a lower score. However, the fact that she won the competition, got HOH in the first place, leads me to believe that she will be good in competitions in the future. Also, she has Brayden. I don't think she's like a next target. I don't think she necessarily is like considered a huge threat, even though she did win HOH. So I do feel like I'm not going to go crazy. We'll see how she does next week, but I'm going to give her a 4.
All right. I have slightly different sort of philosophy, a slightly different philosophy here for the first week that definitely caused a bit of a stir at the beginning of season 22 in the U.S. But I look at this week as the first week. And in terms of what I would expect from any player in the first week is that I'm going to be very unsure about them as a player on a whole. And also, how much can you really do in the first week? So I try to judge on that criteria, which means that my ratings can be more exciting than Melissa's.
La-di-da.
But great despite
for you,
that,
Taryn.
I gave her a 4 as well. I was the same.
Then I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's, look, she's just been very complacent, I think. Complacency is probably the best way to describe her HOH. She's missed a lot of opportunities. She's, at the same time, though, she's clearly capable of winning competitions. That's good. And she's not bad socially. She just needs to like start working. I think that like, say Brayden goes home next week, very possible. Now who's she going to hang out with? She's going to have to socialize a bit more. She's out of the HOH room too. She's going to be in the bedrooms with people. So hopefully socializing more. She, just because she's just a number now doesn't mean that she couldn't get lucky and turn into something valuable in the future if she's needed for some kind of power play. That wouldn't be terrible either. This is not a high 4. This is if things continue on this trajectory, she only can go down from here. But I do think that she has some potential to rise up from here. So it was a 4 from me, and the audience also gave her a 4. They agreed.
Okay. So I'm the hard one on her.
Yeah, harsh ratings. Wow, Asia.
That's how we get you. We trick you into going first, and then right. you're the odd one out. All right, Melissa, let's have you go first on Beth.
All righty. I thought that Beth's doing a pretty good job. I think, like, you know, we just discussed the whole double showmance thing. I do think that that's putting her in a little bit of a precarious position, but at this point, it hasn't been a problem, and hopefully it doesn't cause her any problems in the future. I think she's making good relationships with people. I feel like, I mean, she got added into the Sunsetter Alliance, and I think, you know, she's also working with the two showmance, her two showmance partners, you know, and she's got also Austin thinking that they're really close. And so I do feel like she's in a good position socially and I guess strategically. I do think that can kind of translate well. Like if you connect with people socially, I do think it like people want to keep you around, want to work with you. You know, so, and I haven't really heard people saying like, we need to get her out. So I do think she's doing a good job. I'm pretty impressed with her gameplay. I liked when she talked to the camera and, you know, you could kind of like get a sense of where her head's at, and she's not just there to like, oh, I just want to flirt and have fun. It's like, I do feel that game sense from her. So I'm going to give her a 6.
All right. I was a little bit higher on Beth, I think. I gave her a 7. And the reason I gave Beth a 7 is mostly because she's in the Majority Alliance. And that's a pretty good place to be when the Majority Alliance is as dominant as it seems to be as of right now. On top of that, she's in the Majority Alliance with a side alliance. It's also a good place to be. She does have Austin on her side. And I think she has Austin more so than Jed or Ty does. And that means that she does have some extra numbers. And on top of that, she's also got a pretty good relationship with Brayden. So even if Austin leaves and Brayden's alone, I think Brayden probably gravitates more toward Beth than anyone else. And that's a pretty good place to be. Now, that does not mean that she's in a killer spot. And that's because I don't think she's particularly subtle about her position in the game. We were just talking about even her showmancing isn't subtle. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, also the fact that she's kind of playing both sides is not super subtle. Her own alliance sees that she's close with Austin and Brayden, and they don't fully trust her at all times because of that. She also has people from the other side, meaning Kyle and Ro, very suspicious of her because she's very flirty with them. They see her talking with Austin and Brayden. They see her talking with Ty and Jed, and they think that she is a very dangerous player. They could take a shot at her at some point. Now, again, the thing, though, that we have to consider is that even if they did take a shot at her, she'd probably be okay as long as the majority was able to swing some kind of person sitting next to her that's not one of them, which certainly possible. She also trusts Tina a bit too much, which is a bad thing and a good thing, because if Tina recognizes that, we've seen that Tina's pretty effective at keeping the people that trust her around because they're going to be useful for her. So she's in a weird spot, an interesting spot, and I have her at a 7 here. Asia, what do you think?
So I make sure I'm not muted because of the dogs. They are having a grand old time out there. So I on paper, Beth is in a good position in terms of being in the majority alliance and having these side alliances. However, in the majority alliance, she's at the bottom, being the last ad. And then with her two showmances, I would say if she had two flirtmances, cool. But these two showmances with these friends, the undercover brothers, I don't think that's going to end well by any means. I think someone's going to catch feelings. I think it's going to turn into a situation where one of them gets mad and maybe stops talking to her for a day. And then she's all concerned and has to give him attention. And then she is avoiding the other one. And I think they're like, it just leaves room for this messiness. And I can just see it turning, especially because it's so early. And the fact that, I mean, who starts a showmance? Like, it's very rare people start a showmance and then it fades out. So I just think that that's going to get her in trouble. So I landed at a 6.
All right. The audience also landed at a 6 for Beth. So she is going to fall there at a 6 overall. Let's talk about Brayden. Let's talk about Brayden next. Brayden. I actually, sometimes I take some notes for people. I don't have a lot for Brayden, and that's mostly because I gave him a 3. And I said, he's a likable guy, but he's playing summer camp right now.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to give him a 3.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's got the social aspect, which I guess is good, but I feel like he's not translating that into like the game part of it. And I think that if he could translate that into the game part, he would be in a good position since people seem to like him. He's getting along with people, you know, not a problem. But like, I don't know if he has that in mind. Like, I don't know if he's planning on switching it around to like create game relationships and game bonds with people. So like, I don't know. I just don't see it yet. So, and like the reason why he's lower than Austin in my mind is like Austin won HOH and she has like Beth and other connections like right there. So I mean, she's not in a great position, but I think he's in a worse position. So yeah, 3 for me.
Yeah, I also agree that he is a 3 because like I wouldn't say a 1 because I think that he's likable and I don't think that it's a shoe-in that he's like next on the hit list. But yeah, he's in summer camp, he's just having a good time. On the episode we saw them trying to talk game and he was just, why are you me? Why are you me? Like, that's all he had to contribute to the conversation. And so I think he is just there to see what happens, what falls into his lap. And I'm sorry, sweetheart, these people are playing. The ones that are playing are playing. And so nothing is just going to fall out of thin air and he's going to be aligned with someone and make it to the end. So right now he's definitely a 3.
All right. Well, the audience was a little kinder to Brayden. They gave him a 4. The audience tends to be the most boring rater of all. They like gravitating toward the middle. So let's talk about Jed. We had a little bit of a discussion here on Jed. We can start with the audience on this one. They gave Jed a 6, very close to a 7, but they ended up giving him a 6 out of 10 for Jed. Melissa, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, honestly, I was going to give him the same rating. I was going to give him a 6 because, you know, I was going to give him higher. Honestly, I thought he was in a really good position, but that house meeting today kind of freaked me out a little bit, I think. I still think he's in a good position just because he's got all these alliances there. People all seem to want to work with him. I'm not hearing a ton of conversation, shockingly, about, you know, how Jed and Ty are like super big threats or anything like that. I mean, like, people are saying it, but not like, we need to get them out right away. They're a huge danger to my game, whatever. Like, I'm not hearing that. So I do think he's in a pretty good spot. I didn't love the house meeting. So it kind of made me lose a little bit of faith in his game ability and his ability to play non-emotionally. So, you know, that's, yeah, 6.
Yes. I was also maybe a little bit kinder to Jed. I feel very good about the people in the Sunsetters. I think they're going to be here for a long time. And the fact that they are set up that well in week one tells me that, you know, I'm going to give them a pretty good rating. And so for me, Jed is a 7. I feel, you know, despite this, despite the house meeting, which I do think had pros and cons to it, probably more cons than pros, but I, you know, especially if we're asking Josh, but I do think that he is a very likable guy overall. He is very good socially. I think that he is smart enough. I think that he is very capable of mental competitions. And while people are able to recognize that, you know, who's really going to take a shot at him anytime soon? Not many people. I think he'll be here for a while, and I think he will have a lot of opportunity to do well in this game. So for me, that's a 7. What do you think, Asia?
Yeah, so I was at an 8 before the house meeting. And then after the house meeting, I did come down to a 7 because I think that he is well positioned in the house. But now I think it was a situation where people saw him and Ty as just as charming. They love being around both of them. And, you know, they're both in this power alliance. But now it's kind of a thing where Jed is capable of calling out a house meeting, and Ty, you don't think he would do that. So you're going to try to handle those two different people differently moving forward. And so I think that, you know, Toya, she probably won't care. Like, she's probably going to maybe lean into Jed more than Ty because he's more direct, or he's more capable of calling people out. But you may not see that for a majority of the house. So I am at a 7.
All right. So he's going to land there at a 7 overall. Let's talk about Josh. Let's talk about Josh. Asia, what are you thinking about Josh?
I hope I'm not too high on Josh. No, I gave him a 1. Ooh. I gave him because
dropping the 1 bombs already.
Yes. I think unless there is some awakening tonight or tomorrow where people realize, okay, we see that Ro and Kyle are a pair. We need to break that up. Unless there's something like that, then he's going home. And there's just no way out of it. The house meeting, he came out of it worse off because he wasn't even answering questions well. They're trying to ask him direct questions, and he's just like, "Oh, I don't know. You did this." So, like, even though, you know, Jed may have looked a certain way in that house meeting, it also didn't. I mean, I know it was sprung on Josh, but, you know, it didn't help it. It didn't help his case by any means. And I think even now, people are just gonna more so ostracize him more because they're just like, look, this is enough. You're lying. We caught you with about all your lies. So no, we're done. So I just think that he's gone.
Reddit's going to start pumping Josh stock.
Oh God. I honestly, like, when the house meeting was starting, I was like, oh good, this is good for Josh. Like, I feel like he can do really well here because he had already talked like to the camera about like, okay, I have this plan, like this is how I'm gonna get out of this situation. And I was like, I felt good about him. I felt like, okay, he has this plan now, there's a chance like to talk about all this stuff and out in the open in front of everyone, like let's go, Josh can do this. And then he kind of just like totally blew it. And then not only that, if someone's accusing you of lying and then you just say, yep, that's right, I'm a liar, like sarcastically, it does not help your case. Like, it's just like, okay, so like, wait, so you are lying? Like, you were lying? I don't know. Because if I'm being honest and I am being accused of lying,
I will vehemently be like, I am absolutely not lying. I'm telling the truth. And you will like keep fighting it. But if you are, if you're caught in a lie and you were lying, it's very easy to just be like, yeah, sure. Yep. I was lying. No, I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth. It's like, you're so nonchalant about it that it like makes me think you were lying and that like, that's a, your cover up. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he didn't do it well. He did not do a good job. I'm going to be a little kinder to Josh just because I do still see a chance for him to stay. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I feel like it was Wednesday night when Derek turned the vote around and Zach Rantz was able to stay. So I just feel like there is a chance. And if he can stay this week, I could see him lasting a while because I could see a situation where he kind of fades in the background and everyone starts turning on each other. Like, I don't know, but I don't, if he goes, he goes, but you know, I could see a different storyline happening. So I'm going to give him a 2.
You think Tina Giesling is going to step in?
She could. You never know.
Yeah. I also gave him a 2. I understand the 1 though. I mean, he's very bad at the game. I usually reserve 1s for not only a guarantee that they're going home, but they also like are actively making it worse on themselves and like have terrible reads and are constantly like putting themselves in a spot they shouldn't even be on the block. And yet they put themselves there and they've guaranteed that they're going home. I feel like Josh, this is a rough spot for him. The team's twist did not help him in any way. He's still getting, you know, attacked for things that happened last week. And yeah, I mean, he was not great in the house meeting, but he also wasn't terrible. I mean, I don't think that he's actively making his own position worse. I think that he just has a no-win scenario. And I don't think that he'll ever be very good at this game. I don't think he'll ever crack a 2. Yeah, it's a 2. And the audience also said a 2.
Yeah, it's like drop Josh in any season. This is probably going to be his fate.
I mean, look, drop him in a season of Emerson College film majors. And right. You know what? He'd probably be great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I mean, that's the thing. And that's something that honestly you should look out for when you're trying to do drafts and stuff. Like if somebody's like, hey, I'm a unique personality. Big Brother doesn't usually cast people like me. That's not a great sign for their prospects in the game because it means they're not going to have people that are similar to them in the game. And that is huge.
Yeah. For our draft, we're going to need to keep that in mind. Like if someone says that you never see someone like me on the show. Then that won't be good. I'm not drafting you.
And I mean, I like that they cast people that aren't like I would like more Joshes. I would like more, just like we're having all kinds of diversity in this cast, like cast a diverse range of personalities, of ages, of all kinds of things. But until that happens, you know. Sorry, Josh.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Let's talk about Kiefer. I feel okay about Kiefer. Like I said, anybody in the majority alliance, I'm going to feel pretty good about. Kiefer is probably the biggest exception to that because he has already gone on the block and he is not the most respected person in the Sunsetters. And he does not have many connections outside of the Sunsetters. I don't see a great long-term prospect for his game, but I do think he should be around for a while. But for as long as these teams stay in place, he might be used as a pawn. And honestly, as I just talked that through, I talked myself back down to a 5 because here's why. Even though he's in the majority alliance, people in the majority alliance are talking about, well, next week, if I win, I'm going to have to use Kiefer as a pawn. And if Kiefer is used as a pawn 2 weeks in a row in the first 2 weeks of the game, first 2 weeks of an HOH game, that's hard to recover from. That puts you in a bad spot. He did win the veto this week, which is super helpful, but I don't like that. Now, I do think he has some potential in the game. I think that he knows the game decently well. And so, because of that, I think that he has the capability to pull off some moves, but I also think he's just I think he's a little too loyal to the Sunsetters, and the Sunsetters are not a crew where he has a great shot Really? I mean, he's not the person that's going to win a jury vote against anybody else in that crew. And he is not the person who is necessarily going to win endgame comps against. Oh, you know, actually, you know what? I take that back. Big Brother Canada is a little bit less physical in the end than Big Brother US and a little more mental. And I do think that Kiefer can do very well in the mental competitions. He really does study. I mean, it's not the worst spot in the world, and that's why I keep going back and forth on Kiefer, but I'm gonna land there at a five, because I really do think he can go in any direction at this point. Asia, what do you think?
I agree. When I sat down and I really thought about these ratings earlier today, I landed at a 5.2 with Kiefer, because I think, so one, I think he's going to be a pawn star. Two, I think that he is disposable to his alliance. Like, I think that the more the house develops relationships, it might be a situation where 2 weeks down the line, 3 weeks down the line, when the teams are over, that Kiefer is a casualty and goes home, and then they just pull in someone else to fill that last spot in the Sunsetters and maybe make it seem like it's this new alliance that just formed. But I think that he's not the one making the decisions in the alliance. He's there because he was in that like compromising position of being on the block this week. So I think, you know, I don't know what it will take to kind of turn things around, but just for him to just have more, I don't know, more of like more agency in the game, just for him, for it to seem that he's not just like a bystander. He's not just a number. He's not someone that to just put up. So yeah, a five.
Yeah. I mean, I feel similarly to what you guys are saying. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, he starts off at a five, and then you've got, you know, positives because he's in the giant alliance. You know, he won a comp and saved himself, took him off the block. That's good. But, you know, he was put on the block in the first place. People are talking about him as a pawn. First of all, his alliance has already had to like tell him like not to do certain things, like don't go and talk to Austin like this, or like you have to go and talk to Austin and say this, or don't say that to the HOH.
The cheering in the HOH yeah. competition was
it's a lot of like, I feel like it's like a teacher pupil relationship where it's like they're like, don't do, like you need to play it this way, like I need you to go and say this to so and so, like basically coaching, having to coach him through it. And I also feel like they don't respect him. I don't feel like his alliance respects him. I think that they would let him go in a heartbeat if they had to. Like if it came down to it, they'd let him go. He's just a number, but he's not really like in the core of like the strategy part of the alliance. I mean, for example, when Kiefer was like, maybe we should switch and take Ro out, and everyone's like, no, shut up. And then the second like Jed or Ty or whoever like proposes it, they're like, I never thought of it that way. It's like, okay, so you know, you clearly don't think highly of Kiefer's opinion literally at all. So I don't feel great about him, and so I'm gonna give him a four.
All right, well, the audience agreed with Melissa. Actually, they gave him a four as well. It was a close one to five, but it was not quite a five. It was a four. So that means that Kiefer is going to land at a five overall, and we're going to move on to Kyle. Let's talk about Kyle. Now, Kyle did get a five from the audience. He did land that five from the audience, which is an interesting spot for him. Melissa, how do you feel about that?
I was honestly going to say the same thing, just because like I feel like he's very middling to me. He hasn't really done much that makes me like think that he's not a good player, but he hasn't done anything really to make me think he is a good player. I've liked to hear that, you know, he is a fan of the show. He plays, you know, Big Brother with his friends in the woods or whatever. So I do think that makes me feel like he at least understands the game and like knows the strategy. I think that it's good that he has like a tight two with Ro. And the one thing is that like, he's not in the majority alliance. That's not good for him. I feel like if anything, you kind of compare Ro and Kyle to Ty and Jed. And you're like, if you're with Ty and Jed, you're like, okay, those two are going to be a problem for those two. So like, I would stick with Ty and Jed if I'm working with them, and we'll have to get out Kyle and Ro. Like, that's just the way it's going to have to be. So I do feel like, moving forward, he could be in danger since he's not included in the majority. But, you know,
he's not really creating waves yet. Like, he's not really doing anything that makes me like concerned about him. So I do think that he's just kind of there in the middle right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle's interesting because to me, you know, there are sometimes players in the game, where you, where even like somebody like me or other commenters might say like, look, I think this person is capable of playing well. I think that they have potential, but the way that the show is cast, they're never going to have an opportunity. The cast isn't diverse enough. They, you know, they don't have the kinds of people that they, could easily get along with. And, the cast usually looks a lot more like Kyle. And I think in a cast that would typically look a lot more like Kyle, Kyle probably is in the majority alliance. And I think he could be a dangerous player in a majority alliance. But in this cast, he's not. And in this cast, he is struggling to find allies. And here we are. I think that he is, you know, obviously he knows the game. He even gave, I said this before, he gave like his own little version of like a Kacer speech when he was pitching to LaToya and Tara about how we're not in the majority. You can't let the majority build momentum. you can't let them do this. We need to form some sort of counter thing. And it's not working because this majority has already been entrenched and he is approaching people who are in the majority. And it's making him a huge target. And he is going to be targeted very soon, I think.
I think it's funny because I don't like blame him or I don't fault him for like going to people like Tina or like LaToya or someone like that.
Yeah, I don't fault him at all.
Well, no, I just mean like, because normally they wouldn't be in the majority alliance. Like in normal Big Brother, the majority alliance would be like Austin, Beth, Jed, Ty, like Brayden. You know, that would be the majority. So like, I could see a situation where you're like, okay, how do I talk to the people on the outskirts? Oh, okay. I'll just go to these outskirt people. And really like, it's the opposite this season where they're in the majority and the outskirt people are people that you would expect to be in it. I don't know.
Which is so interesting, right? Like, I love how this is playing out because right. I feel like we have seen the same thing over and over. And now we're kind of seeing the other side of that coin. And so Kyle is struggling and I do think that he will probably continue to struggle. Now, that said, you know, I don't know how far Tina intends to try to protect Kyle and Ro. I have a feeling that she doesn't really care for the both of them staying around and that she could easily lose one of them and then feel like she can pull the other one in just based on what she's talked about with Tara. And I feel like Kyle is probably the one she would want to let go of the two of them. So I don't have a lot of hopes for his long-term prospects in this game. However, I don't think that we can count him completely out yet because he could win an HOH. Ro could win an HOH. Tara could win an HOH. And any one of these situations, even Tina, I don't think would go straight at Kyle, nor can she actually because of the teams. So there are actually a lot of scenarios where he's okay, especially because of these teams. Like if anyone on his team wins, they can't go after him. They might go after Ro, but that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Kyle, because if Ro goes, then his threat has been neutralized to some degree and they might go after somebody else instead. So I do think he still has potential in this game. And I landed at a 5.
Yep. Gotcha. So yeah, with the fake Kyle, I think that, so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, okay, if someone from Team Defender wins next week, wins HOH, how likely is it for Kyle to go up? I think it's very likely, because I think if someone from the Sunsetters wins, it's going to be some combination of Kyle, Tara, and Victoria, because I could see Jed and Ty trying to prevent Austin if they truly do make the four like a solid side alliance for them. So because of that, I did give Kyle a 4. Just because I don't see him as very middle of the road. So if I'm thinking Kiefer is middle of the road, it's because he's in a good position, but he's not playing, he's not being active. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kyle is like, he's not in the best position. He's not doing a whole lot, but like you said, there is potential. So I think a 4 is solid for now.
Makes sense. All right. So that's going to be a 5 overall for Kyle. Let's talk about LaToya. Let's talk about LaToya. LaToya is such an interesting player because I feel like, you know, my perception of her based on the first episode was that she was the one that people were going to sort of be like, okay, she's the leader of the alliance. You know, she's flipping the vote. She's pulling people into rooms. And, you know, then, you know, Kyle and Roe approach her about the side thing. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, LaToya could be the person running this game. And then she rats it out to Jed and Ty. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, she's not interested. She's not interested in playing that kind of game. She's genuine when she says she doesn't want to lie to people. That's interesting to me. And she, on top of that, she is very much seemingly team focused. And so she is kind of like, it seems like very, sort of like, okay, this is the team. We're going to play for the team. And she's a very strong asset to the team. And on top of that, she's not as big a target as we might've assumed given the first night of feeds where a lot of people were talking about targeting her. It seems like not many people are actually that interested in targeting her. And so she's kind of like shifted in my mind as like, okay, so she's not as self-interested as I want her to be, but she's also not as big a target as I thought she was. And for those reasons, I actually still feel very good about LaToya in general. And I think that, you know, she is like, I would place her above Beth and Jed. But I'm not quite ready to go up from the 7. So I also gave her a 7, but she's a higher 7 than the other two in the Sunsetters. She's in the top half of the Sunsetters for me.
Totally. Yes. Same. I mean, I want to give her the same score. I was going to give her a 7 as well. I think she's playing really well. I'm excited to see what she does. I think that she's in a good position. I was a little nervous, I have to be honest, seeing that scene with Julie where it was like, I'm just not going to talk about this, because I could see that rubbing people the wrong way and kind of just being like, oh, okay, so you're not going to communicate with me. If she doesn't want to lie, it's like, and also if she doesn't want to lie, I mean, people are going to find that out. Like, if she just immediately walks out of the room, like, and won't have a conversation with you, it's like, oh, okay, because you did say this. Like, it's like a tell. You don't have to lie, but I know what you're saying. Like, you're communicating to me by not saying anything. So, I mean, I'm a little worried about that. Plus, like, I do think that eventually, if she keeps kind of like maintaining this leader role, I do think people will start to see her as a huge threat and will be like, okay, we have to get her out. Like, there's no way around it. She's a leader. Whereas I do think Tina is someone that kind of like can blend in the background and not really come across as a leader. And people wouldn't automatically assume that she's the leader of the, you know, the large alliance. So I am impressed with LaToya. However, I do kind of feel like I need to see how this goes. So I'm going to give her a 7 as well.
All right, Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, so I feel the same about Toya as I did at the premiere. I thought she was a boss then. I think she's a boss now. She has impressed me because I thought that she was going to be a bit more dominant to the point where people realize they need to get her out. But she has managed to bring it down and be a little bit more subtle because she is team focused. So I think that's helped her so much. And I think it's like, it's not going to be like, I don't foresee her being in danger until down the line when people that are actually in the Sunsetters realize that she's as big of a threat as they should look at her as. So like someone like Tina or Jed or Ty realize like, we better get Toya out before it's too late. And I think, you know, as long as she continues to foster those relationships, they may not have that realization. So because it is also, we're only within like the first 2 weeks, I did also give her a 7. But if she continues to play the way she's playing, like it's naturally going to go up from there because she is so well positioned. People value her opinion, even though she can't lie. I hope she learns over the weeks, like take some tips from Tina. But I think she's in such a great position right now.
Yeah. All right. The audience agrees. They gave her a seven as well. So it's going to be straight sevens for LaToya, which means I think that she is currently the highest rated player on the board, average wise, which I think is correct. Let's talk about Rohan. Let's talk about Ro. Ro's an interesting one here. Did I start the last one? I think I might have. Melissa, what do you think about Ro?
I'm on mute. So I honestly, I feel like I, at the start of the week, or even when he was initially nominated, I felt better about him than I do now. I think I feel like he could play the game really well. And I feel like I like that he's in with Kyle and they have their twosome. I like that. And I do think that, you know, he's good socially with a lot of people. However, the fact that they were willing to flip the vote, like just seemingly like overnight, like no questions asked. They were just like, all right, yeah, let's flip it. Who cares? Let's do it. It shows that like he's expendable. He's can go at any minute. He's not really in a great position. They're willing to kick him out. No problem. No questions asked. You know, there's only a few hesitancies, but even then it was like, it didn't matter. He was going to go. So there's an absolute chance that this vote flips again and he leaves. So I don't think that's a really good position. I also think he didn't come across so great in the House meetings today. However, like, you know, it could just be a situation where this all, like, Josh goes home and this all goes away and, you know, we don't have to worry about this. However, you know, I'm a little concerned about him. You know, he's on the block. He could go home. So I'm going to give him a four because I think that he's in a better position than Brayden. Because he has those external connections that Brayden does not have. However, I am a little concerned about him moving forward.
Yeah. Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, the fact that, you know, this vote has kind of been volatile at points where they're just like, oh, well, yeah, we could get rid of him without, you know, thinking a second thought. Like if you think about, you know, people that have been on the block in the past, that people are like, no way we're sending them home. It's guaranteed that, you know, the person that we put on the block initially is going home. The fact that that has not been the case with Ro, and they're just like, no, we could send him home because it could benefit us. That shows like where his placement is in the house. And then the fact that he's having such trouble just finding people to align with, like we're at the beginning of the game. Everyone should be itching to just have something solid. And the fact that the people that aren't in the Sunsetters haven't just been like, oh yes, like, yes, let's do it, Ro. Like I'm down. This would be great. That shows like, I guess his ability to connect and show that they could trust him and that they could get a good thing going and make a run for it. So I did give him a three because I think, I mean, Melissa, like you've been saying, there is a chance. I think even though like right now it does seem like it's a shoe-in for Josh to go home this week. If he doesn't go home this week, he's going home next week. But I think that, you know, if things were to turn around, you know, people play so hard when they have more time. And so I think if they do turn it around and Ro goes home, I think, you know, that's a very real possibility.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Ro is a tough one for me, especially comparing to Kyle. I gave Kyle a five. I feel like Ro has much better long-term prospects in the game than Kyle does. And because of that, I kind of feel like he should be at least at the same level, if not higher than Kyle. But I think the problem is that his short-term prospects, I think, are actually much worse. First of all, mm-hmm. he is still on the block right now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The vote almost flipped on Sunday. It could easily flip again. And you have people after the House meeting, Victoria talked with Josh and was like, hey, I want you to stay. And she was mm-hmm. like, you need to talk to Ty because Ty is the person that can help you stay. And that was very good advice. Like, I don't think it's completely over yet for Josh to go and for Ro to stay. So Ro could leave this week. And the problem also is that even going into next week, I think he's actually in more danger than even Kyle. I think they want to target Kyle more than they want to target Ro. But on Kyle's team, there's seven options. There's much more options to choose from. If somebody from the defender team wins, then there's plenty of ways for Kyle to kind of get out of that situation. Roe, there's only five options left after this week. They've lost two members of their team. Only five people are available to be nominated, and two of them, three of them are Sunsetters. So there are only two people that can even go on the block at all. It's him and Braden. And that's a really bad place to be. And sure, Braden could go over Roe, but that's a tricky spot for sure. And on top of that, if they play the HOH like they did last week, then the Destiny team is going to have a huge numbers advantage. They're going to have an extra player playing in their team to potentially win this HOH. So I think that Roe is in a lot more danger here, heading into next week, heading into this week, to the end of this week, at least. So because of that, I also had to go with a four for Roe. But if he survives this week, and at this time next week on Tuesday night, he is not looking like he's going home next week, I would expect this score to rise. So keep that in mind for the stock watch. All right.
I had really high hopes for Ro. Just like, he really impressed me with his intro videos. And I thought he was going to have an easier time, like acclimating and getting to know people. So I've just been surprised by what has turned out.
I think there's sort of three paths in front of him. One path is goes home this week or next week. And so, another path is his and Kyle's alliance. They win HOH next week. They take out a big heavy hitter from the Sunsetters. The Sunsetters break up, and then they are in a power position in the game. Maybe not a majority alliance, but they're actually power players in the game. That's another possible road for him. And then there's a third road where, he survives the next couple weeks, loses Kyle, and is able to integrate without Kyle, and kind of cause some damage as a free agent kind of player that they don't want to, you know, they don't feel the need to finish off quite yet. I think that, you know, any path where he survives, he's got some legs here in the game potentially. So, the audience is, actually at a five for Ro. They feel even better about Ro than we do. But that means that Ro is going to end up with a four here. All right. Let's talk Terra. Let's talk about Terra. Asia.
I have no idea. Yeah. I'm like, I really don't know.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, I even was just testing, like, knowing the house guests. I was like, let me just write down everybody's names to rate them. And then I was like, I'm missing one person.
No.
Like, I know. It's just like, if you constantly forget this person is in the house, they're just not making an impact whatsoever. But I think that it's also a situation where people in the house are also not seeing her as that big of a threat, because it's not like they think that she's in with some big alliance, some secret big alliance. You know, she entered the house when we did, in my opinion. So it's like, I think she's just trying to find her footing. She's trying to figure it out, trying to figure out where she is in the game. She's trying to figure out what other people are doing in the game. And at least the effort is there. Like, I can't say that she's not doing anything at this point. Like, she's trying to get things going. It's just that, you know, other people already have solid things. So it's kind of seeming like an afterthought to them, or somewhat solid, like as solid as can be in the early weeks. So it's really hard, because, like, even though Brayden's average is a three, I did also give Terra a three, just because I think if she were on the block, I don't think it's a given that she goes home, because I think they would want to get out a bigger target. So I think that she has the ability to go the distance in a game, only because she just doesn't have that big of a presence right now.
All right. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Asia said. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. She's like kind of a non-entity in the game right now. And I feel like it's interesting because that could go either way. I think that could either be a good thing. Like, you know, nobody's thinking about her. Nobody's, you know, whatever. She's not like going home this week, whatever. But, you know, at the same time, nobody's thinking about her and nobody's working with her. So like, that's not good. I don't feel like that's a good start. It's one thing if everyone is kind of on that same level in the beginning, like if the game starts out slow where everyone's kind of like, okay, we're all just filling each other out. We're all just like hanging out, getting to know each other, you know, building these connections. But like, there's already a majority alliance. That majority alliance is strong and you're not a part of it. And that's concerning. And I mean, you know, I feel differently about her than I do about someone like Kyle, for example, because Kyle is out of the majority, but at least he has Ro. Like, at least he's kind of making inroads on in that sort of way. He has a duo. She doesn't have that. And I'm a little concerned for her. However, you know, she could fly under the radar for a long time. And then, you know, then she could find some footing and get herself in a better position. We don't know. So, you know, I'm just going to give her, I'm going to give her a 4.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've been struggling to place Tara here, with exactly where she stands. I think her biggest problem right now is the teams. I think that if a defender wins, that she is just too easy of a person to put up on the block, because of the limited options that they're going to have. And because of that, she could easily find herself in a position where she's going home very quickly. So, you know, that's trouble for Tara. But I think her connection to Tina is very valuable. And I do think that she is like ready to play this game. She's not as active as like Kyle is in trying to like form something, but she is willing to very much jump in and be a part of something and play the game. I think that if she survives, similar to Ro, if she survives the next couple of weeks, and things play out right, she could find herself one of Tina's most valuable pieces at the very least. And that could be a pretty good spot for her. But I also don't know how capable she's going to be with the competitions. You know, I think that she's obviously a very like, you know, physically fit person, but she's also a very short person. And height can also matter in these challenges. And I don't know how she's going to do in the mental comps. I think that competition wins are going to be very, very, very key to her success in this game, given her social standing. And until I know where her prowess is with competitions, it's going to be hard to be too high on her. So I also gave her a 4 here, as did the audience. So it's going to be 4s, not all around. It's going to be 3 4s and a 3. But that's going to land at a 4 overall. Let's talk.
You're
about
just harsh. No, like, every single one, it's like the rest of us are like, yeah, we're giving them an 8 or whatever, and she's like, yeah, I'm giving them a 1. So what?
I'm like, I thought I love this cast, but
you had no idea. You were the harsh right. one.
No leeway, no
yeah,
slack,
right? Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, let's talk Tina.
Let's talk Tina.
Yeah. Obviously, I feel like I've talked a lot about Tina this week, or at least over the last few days. I've been very impressed with what she's doing so far. She has positioned herself in probably the best position in the house so far. She has the most amount of one-on-one connections, the most amount of people who consider her to be their number one. On top of that, she's nowhere near the top of anybody's hit list. Everybody underestimates her. I think this is the main difference between her and Ty, who we'll talk about very soon, and I think is sort of the other person who is doing very, very well in the game. The main difference between the two of them right now is that everybody can see Ty. Nobody sees Tina right now. Now, another difference is that Ty is probably going to win more competitions than Tina, and that's going to be an advantage for him. But another difference is that Tina is, I think, somewhat aware of that and is playing a little bit more aggressively. Ty is kind of sitting back a little bit. You know, he kind of, it seems like he wants to make the flip happen, but he's not really pushing too hard. Whereas Tina was like, no, I'm putting my foot down. I know what I need to do here. And I'm not going to let this happen. So I really like Tina. I have very high hopes for her. I don't think that, like, she's not in a position yet where I feel like she's fully proven herself to be the player that I would like for her to be. But I've seen a lot of signs that are very promising and that I'm very excited about. So for me, Tina is an 8. She's done very well this week, and she's in a very good position, but she still has a lot of work ahead of her. Again, this is not a situation where it's like, if nothing changes, Cody wins this game. It's like, well, Tina's in a great spot, and she's in a great spot to make the changes that she needs to win this game. And so that's where I'm at here with Tina. Asia, what do you think?
I am very high on Tina. I think she is in a great position. She's working both sides of the house. She is not on anybody's radar. I am so pleasantly surprised by her, because I just thought that her fate was going to be sealed as soon as she walked in the house, just given how history repeats itself with certain ages of house guests. And maybe the diversity of the cast did play a part in this, in that, you know, you were just going to see different types of things. So I am loving what I'm seeing from Tina. I think it would take a lot to kind of change my view on how well she's doing in the game, because she's so intentional with how she's playing the game, how she's perceived, who she's talking to, what she's doing. So I am also at an 8.
Yeah, Melissa.
Yeah, same. I'm at an 8 for Tina. I'm very impressed with her. This is like what I would hope for from a quote unquote older, you know, player, someone who's like not necessarily like immediately like, oh, they're in the in group. The stereotype, the archetype, whatever. Like, you don't normally see an older outskirts player, whatever, like Tina. So I'm so happy that we're getting this. I love it. And I'm so looking forward to, you know, seeing how she plays the rest of this game. So yeah, I feel great about her. I feel like I agree with what you guys are saying, where it's like, I can't like give her a 9 or a 10 yet, just because like, we don't really know. We kind of have to see how this plays out. But at this point, like, I feel like she's heading in that direction. So I'm very impressed with her.
All right. The audience also gave Tina an 8. So it's going to be straight 8s for Tina.
Wow.
There you go.
Good.
All right. Let's talk about Ty. Let's talk about Ty. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Ty?
I feel good about him. I feel like he's doing a really good job. I feel like he has a strategic mind. He's got so many good connections. I like that he's more like laying low. You know, and I also think that even in a situation where it's like, okay, he's a threat because of his athletic ability, Jed's a threat because of his athletic ability and the fact that they are joined up, I do see Jed after this house meeting, especially, as being more volatile than Ty. I think that if anything were to happen where the two of them are, you know, put on the block together, I could see a situation where Ty stays and Jed, you know, spirals out of control. I don't know. But I do feel like Ty is in a very good position, and I like the way that he's connecting with everybody and bonding, and I'm very impressed with him. However, you know, he still has that lingering over his head that he's this athletic guy. He's viewed as a threat, whereas someone like Tina, while she has the strategic mind, she's not viewed that way just because of who she is. So I like Ty a lot, but I can't give him the 8, so I'm going to give him a 7.
All right, Asia, what do you think?
Yeah, so I like Ty. I like that he likes to walk around with no shirt on. I like the eye candy that it has brought to my screen. And I do like his position in the game. I think he is in a very good place with the Sunsetters. He's definitely one of the top people in that alliance. He has a good thing going just one-on-one with Jed. I know, like you were talking about on the update this morning, Taryn, that we haven't really seen them connect a lot. And then today they had a great catch-up. Yeah. And I loved seeing that. And it was like straight to the point. Let's talk about these scenarios. Let's talk about how, like, what would be great for us moving forward. Can you put up this person? Can I put up this person? I love that they have a good understanding of each other's games and who they've connected with. It is not just like a wee thing. They clearly understand who they've connected with and what would be in the best interest for each of them. But I do think that Ty has a good handle on just like, you know, I guess being a lot more subtle in the house. And I guess we didn't even really know that about Jed until he called that house meeting today. So I say all of that to say that I am pretty high on Ty. So even though I would see Tina as a high 8 and can't give her a 9 just because it's so early, I do see Ty as like a solid 8. So like a lower 8 than Tina, but still 8.
Yes. I also gave Ty an 8. I did. I feel like right now the game is sort of balanced between Ty and Tina, and I'm very curious to see in which direction the scales will fall. I think that that he is a very controlled player, which I'm very drawn to. He knows when to talk, when not to talk. He knows what to say to people. He's also very charming, and, you know, very social. And nobody in the game has a single bad thing to say about Ty. He is in a great spot right now. Even if, you know, the flip doesn't happen and Tina's in this great spot, I could still see Ty doing very well. I mean, Ty is in the position where, like, if nothing changes from here, Ty probably wins this game. He's probably in that spot. But there's a lot of potential for change, and I don't know yet that he's capable of squashing it. So for me, it's in a similar way to Tina. He's at an 8. But I'm very excited to see where we go from here. I think he, like I said, with some of these other players, has a lot of potential. And so there he is at an 8. For Ty, the audience was more with Melissa. They gave Ty a 7.
Voice of the people.
He'll still land at an 8 overall.
I literally almost have everything exactly the same as the audience, except for Jed.
Oh, you missed on Jed.
Missed on Jed. Unfortunately.
All right.
But everything else.
Let's talk about the last one here then. Let's talk about Victoria.
Oh, and Roe. God, I guess I'm totally off. The audience hates me. I'm not the voice of the people. I've lost my touch.
Yeah, Asia, what do you think about Victoria?
So I enjoy watching Victoria on the feeds. Like, she is, I just love seeing as I love you. We always love to see people who love to be there, mm-hmm. but to just genuinely see, like, I am enjoying every moment that I'm here. I can't believe how much I enjoyed watching her play that hockey game by herself. Like, she was just all over. I think it was, maybe was it yesterday? And she was her playing herself. She was running to both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And she was so animated. And I know, like, she is just happy to
for
be there
for a long time too. Like, yes, like it was not just like, if I did that, I would do it for like 2 minutes and then I'd be like, yeah, what a great gag I just did. No, she was there for like 20 minutes playing by herself. Yeah.
Like, she went into overtime by herself. So it's like, okay, yes, I enjoy watching her as a character, but in this game, like, she does not have her foot on the pedal. She's still trying to figure out her way. She's not in solid with anybody. She's up for grabs, but she won't let go of this Toya, Jed, and Ty situation that she can't read the room to figure out that Toya is not interested. And so, I mean, I wish she were, but she's not interested. And so I think because of that, because she's still trying to figure out her way, because she would be so easy to throw on the block, I think she is, what what did I give her? I think she is a 3. No. Okay, I didn't give her a 3. I gave her a 4.
Oh. Okay. All right. Yeah, Victoria is such an interesting case for me. I think that the biggest problem with her game right now is that she has no solid allies. She needs somebody to confide in, somebody to bond with. And that's my biggest problem. I was very close to giving her a 5 because I feel like there's something there. I feel like she's going to LaToya, not necessarily because she wants to work with her, but because she knows she needs to be in with that group, or that at least they need to feel like she wants to be in with that group. But I don't actually know what she would do as an HOH. I don't like she's for as much as she talks and reveals information, I don't know what the real, like what is real about her information about herself, if that makes sense. I don't know what she wants to do. And that concerns me. And she has no real allies. And that is a very bad thing for you in the game, because it makes you very easy to put up on the block. I think that she would easily go up on the block as a pawn. She's just another one of these people who, you know, if she survives the next couple of weeks, I think there's potential there. But and I said this for probably, I think, 3 or 4 other people right now. And that's because the teams are keeping them down. Without teams, they'd be in a much better position. They'd have a lot more freedom of movement. But with these teams in place, it's hard for people to be out of the danger of being used as a pawn, because they had limited options for people to nominate. So until the teams end and, you know, Victoria has survived those teams, I just don't know that that like the potential can be reached. So it's a 4 for me as well. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah. Sorry. They're playing with the squeak toy back there. So it's just, there's a lot of noise going on. Guys, quiet. Shh, shh. Anyway, they're... okay, that's enough. Sorry. Yeah, I agree with you guys. 4 for me. I really like her. Haley, yeah, stop. Please.
Okay, yes, it's just your background music.
It's a 4 for me.
This is Victoria playing the hockey game by herself.
Yes. Exactly. She's literally just like, I'm trying to grab it for her, but she thinks we're playing. Anyway, I guess 4 for me. Sorry.
All right. Okay, so the audience also gave Victoria a 4. So that's going to be straight 4s for Victoria. That's going to be a 4 overall. And here we are. These are the ratings. I can do a quick summary here. We've got Austin with a 4, Beth with a 6, Brayden is 3, Jed 7, Josh 2, Kiefer 5, Kyle 5, LaToya 7, Ro 4, Tara 4, Tina 8, Ty 8, and Victoria 4. So an interesting spread for sure. I think there's some fun stuff going on here in the Stockwatch, in the show, on the feeds. Very interested to see where we move from here. I've got some other questions that I asked on the survey. We talked about how people have been enjoying the episodes and the feeds and the season. Before we get into those, I do want to say that if you are interested in playing the game, the Stockwatch game, what you should do is go to realitystockwatch.com and then join the game from there. If you log in, you played before, you should be able to see that you'll be able to just like log in right away, just join the game. And once the podcast ends, you should be able to go there. You should be able to buy and sell to your heart's desire. The site might also crash. It happens. There's everybody's going at the same time. So just watch out for that. But the market will be open until Thursday when the episode airs. So Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you go, you'll have the opportunity to change your decision up until that moment. then you'll be locked in until the next round table. So that's how you play. If you need any more information or details about how to play, or you need tips for like what you should do, I will be streaming on Thursday before the market closes to give you guys a sort of walkthrough of what to do and some tips on where I think maybe you should go. So you can find me there, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, if you need any help in that department. So the main question for me is, Melissa, you gonna pose a threat here this season? What are we doing?
Well, I saw your little video, Taren, where you said I will not win the Stockwatch this year and that you're not even concerned about me. Well, I'll have you know that you better be concerned because I'm coming for your title and I'm going to win.
Well,
did that sound threatening? Like, did that sound good?
I've got to say, threatening. Not feeling threatened.
Oh,
not
darn.
Feeling threatened.
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some, I guess, next year.
I've never lost a Stockwatch to any podcaster. And I don't plan to start this season.
And I've never beaten a podcaster in the Stockwatch. So, you know, maybe I'll just keep that record up.
Are you ready, Asia?
Hey, I played for the first time last season and I did terrible. So I would be lying if I didn't say I was also going to be tuning into your Twitch stream to figure out how to do this correctly.
Because... Yeah, I feel like that's cheating. For me, I'm like purposefully not tuning into his Twitch stream. God dang it, it's so loud in here. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I will mute again, but I just want to say I purposely, everyone's like, well, why don't you go on Taren's Twitch and then you can like learn more about how to do it or like what are the good buys? And it's like, no, the whole point is like I'm supposed to like do it on my own and have my own thing, you know? So I purposely don't listen to your Twitch stream on that one, so that I can win on my own.
Yes, I agree. That's a great way to do it.
That's fair.
Yeah. I keep doing it. All right. So I asked the audience how they thought, how they would rate the episodes out of 10. And the audience said the episodes were about a 5.2 out of 10. That very, very average episodes so far. In contrast to the feeds, which they gave a 6.3. So the feeds, a bit better than the episodes. Not super surprising. Honestly, I would have expected even more of a gap, considering how lack of information right. The episodes are.
The episodes are no representation of what's going on the feeds. And then even the feeds, I probably would have rated it lower myself because every time I look at my phone, it's saying feeds bot is telling me that, oh, feeds were down for 2.5 hours. Feeds were down for 1.5 hours. I'm like, goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The season as a whole, how would you rate the season as a whole so far? 6.6. So I think that sort of indicates that the audience is feeling like, okay, this week isn't necessarily the greatest week, but we have faith in the season that it's going to be better in the future. All right. I had the audience rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. Who do we think took the top spot on the player, the favorite player list? Melissa thinks Victoria. Asia,
I feel like
think?
I'm hearing Victoria a lot as like people loving her. So I think people will say her.
I think maybe Tina.
Squeaking.
I don't know.
Asia is right. It is Tina. Tina took the top spot. Victoria was in second place. Second place for
that
Victoria.
Makes sense.
Yep.
It's like for very different reasons. Like they like Tina because she's doing amazing, and then Victoria because she's entertaining.
Yes. And then closely followed by third and fourth place, which is Ty and Toya.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then rounding out the top five, we had Rohan in fifth place. Yeah.
Aha, no wonder so many people were mad at me today for saying that I didn't love Rohan in the fight.
The thing about it, Melissa, that you don't understand is that smart people would have realized that Ro was not being condescending.
Maybe if you were smart, you'd realize what condescending really is. It's like, the thing, that is being condescending
thing
right there.
About Roe is that it requires a high IQ to really fully understand the arguments that he is making.
Oh, see, that's why it all makes sense now. I just wasn't smart, so I didn't understand.
Yes, now you get it. It's all
now
your fault.
I get it. Yes, yeah. Look what I've done. Look what I've brought upon myself.
Hey, guys, that's enough on Melissa. That's enough. We've gotten our point
going
across.
Home.
All right, Beth. Okay. Down at the bottom of the list, this is actually a little surprising to me, but maybe not considering the just overall forgetfulness, but Tara down at the bottom of the favorite list.
Makes sense.
Plus, yeah. I feel like not enough people or like nobody really has been someone to like hate at this point in time. So it's like the people who usually it's like, okay, we put the people that we hate down at the bottom, but it's like, we don't hate anyone. It's just going to be someone that we don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
let's keep it that way.
I asked, who's the best person for Austin to have targeted for her game this week? What do you guys think? If you could have her target anybody that she was capable of targeting this week, who was on the other team, who would you guys have picked?
Toya. I mean, not from preference, but
right.
For Austin,
game.
Like that frees up Jed and right. Ty. And I guess
I feel like,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, it's so early too that, like, I don't think people would feel that attached to Toya. Like, if they felt like, okay, either I hurt my game by like fighting for her, or I just like kind of let her go and we move on without her. I feel like in the beginning, you're kind of in that weird position where you're like, okay, I'm in an alliance with this person, but like, I'm not going to throw my game, you know, under the bus just because this person's on the block. Like, we're not that close yet.
Yes. Well, with 43% of the votes, the audience did say Toya was the best target for Austin. I also asked the audience how they feel about the team twist as a whole. How do you feel about the team twist? Where 0 is you hate it and 100 is you love it. And the audience was averaging out at around 25. So pretty low score there for the team twist.
So it's like, I like Survivor where Survivor is, and I like Big Brother where Big Brother is. Don't try to blend the two.
Yeah. Yeah. speaking of, I also asked how they felt about the first week specifically where there was no HOH and the losing team was all nominated. They were actually a little bit higher on this one, but still pretty low, a 37 out of 100 for that one. Still not very popular, but, you know, better than the team twist, which I think is mostly a factor of, like, at least that was just one week, right? Right. It's not ruining multiple weeks of gameplay. I also asked the audience to predict, when do you think the team twist will end? So what is the first week you think they will be able to play as individuals? And I gave them 4 options because I don't feel like it's not going to last past week 6. But, you know, is it going to start, stop next week, week 3? They're going to start playing as individuals after this eviction. Week 4, week 5, or week 6? What do you guys think on this one?
I am going to say week 4.
Yeah.
I feel like week 4 is what I guess thinking. I don't know. I feel like it's like, I could absolutely see it them trying to like make this last for like almost the whole game. So let's just hope that it ends fairly soon.
Yeah, I think we're definitely getting at least one more week, which would mean if we get one more week, it would end on week 4. But that would only be 3 people evicted with the team twist. Which actually does kind of make some sense. You know, we don't really know when the jury's going to start. It's a 14 person cast, which kind of implies that we'll have a 7 person jury. That kind of seems to be the direction that Canada has headed in the past. But theoretically, you know, 11 people is some kind of milestone. It could have been where a jury would have started if there was a jury of 9, or will start if there is a jury of 9. So it is potentially a position where there could be a shakeup in the game. And so I do think that week 4 is a pretty good bet. And that is where the audience picked the majority of the audience. 57% of the audience said week four is probably where it will end. All right.
Let's hope.
Yeah. I asked the audience who they wanted to be evicted this week. And with 76% of the vote, they chose Josh. Just
get him out of his misery. Yes, please.
Yeah. I asked the audience, who do you want to win HOH next week? And the top pick from the audience was Ro. Let's get a Rohan HOH.
Interesting.
Yeah, second pick on the board, Victoria. I don't even know what she'd do. And then number three was Kyle. So Ro, Vic, and Kyle, the top three rooted four players in the next HOH competition.
Hmm. It's so funny because no one from the Sunsetters, which, I mean, obviously we never like a dominating alliance. So if the someone from Sunsetters gets HOH, then it's like, okay, same week, we know, like, yeah, on the other side. But Victoria is unpredictable. Ro is in such a unstable place that, you know, we don't know who he's going to pick up. So I agree.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Any final thoughts, Melissa, on the week?
I'm really looking forward to the way the rest of this game is going to play out. I love that it seems like we have a bunch of gamers in the house and people who are really there to win. It does not seem like anybody is there just for like Instagram followers or whatever. Like, it really seems like this is like a play to win kind of team or kind of cast. So I'm really excited about it. I think we're going to have a good season. I'm excited that, even though, like, as much as we're all like, okay, we don't like the majority alliance, we don't like majority alliance, blah, blah, blah. Even though we have a majority alliance, the people in the majority alliance are totally not the typical majority alliance that we usually see. So it's interesting to see this shakeup. Like, it's so rare to see these types of people, you know, running the house. So I'm very excited, even if it ends up being a situation where the majority alliance controls everything, we haven't seen it like this. So I am excited about it. This is not, you know, I feel like for the Pretty Boys, you know, it was like, okay, we've already seen this though. It's not exciting. It's not new. This is something different. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all pans out.
All right. Asia, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm loving the season. I'm loving that, you know, there's that possibility of it being unpredictable. I really want to know, like, once we get Josh out of here and then, you know, Austin and Beth and Ty and Jed, if they solidify this four, I really want to know what Tina and Toya are going to think, because I just, like, Toya is so loyal. And, you know, she's in this thing where, you know, I'm going to stay as honest as possible. And I can just, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, are the Sunsetters just going to implode? And then, you know, Tina and Toya are going to try to form something against Jed and Ty. You know, it could really open up something if they find out early on, which, you know, Beth is being so messy. Who knows what's going to happen? But I'm excited about this season. I know we are really early, and I know that a lot of times we are super excited early on, but I just think, like, no matter how this shakes up, even if the Sunsetters were to take over for the whole season and then we get to a point where they're turning on each other, that still will be exciting, especially just because the people in the alliance are likable. So I have very high hopes.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. This is it's what I'm most excited for personally is the stock watch. I'm excited because, first of all, getting the stock watch on the website and having the new formula. It was supposed to start with Big Brother Canada 8, and it was working great, and then it got cut off. Mm-hmm. And so the only full season we've played with this whole setup is Big Brother 22, which was a very stagnant game, which it was still fun to play the stock watch, but it did not use the formula to its fullest potential. So I'm excited to see what this season can bring us. It's a very fun thing to play. I feel like it really adds a lot to every week to sort of like be able to think about, and you know, sort of invest yourself in. So, again, if you need any help with the stock watch, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, I will stream on Thursday to help with anybody that needs help. Otherwise, you can just go straight to the realitystockwatch.com website and start playing. Just go for it. All right. So yes, find me there on Twitch. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. That's where I tweet out the survey if you want to take part and have a say in what these audience ratings are or any of these questions. You can find it there. I tweet it out every Tuesday morning after the update. And I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Tomorrow night, we'll be recapping the Wednesday night episode after it airs. And then Thursday, we'll be back for the eviction recap. So wait for all of that to happen. It's going to be great. Asia, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Asia like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. One day I'll get that perfect. And you can also catch me tomorrow. I will be joining Rob and Grace to talk about the 31st best season of Survivor, Survivor Game Changers. So I've been watching that over the past couple of days, or rewatching it. And so like hearing Ty over and over, I kept thinking Ty from Survivor, and it was just messing with my mind. It's so fresh. So I'm really excited to break down that season with Rob and Grace tomorrow. So check that out. And then I also am doing coverage on Married at First Sight. And so definitely check that out. Where I have Amy is my co-host on that podcast. And so we cover that every other week, and it's been a very exciting season.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, you can find me on all social medias. It's Melissa with three A's. And also, this tomorrow, I'm going to be recording a podcast with Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me. And we're going to be talking about Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. So all you Olsen fans out there should check it out. I don't know when it's airing, but you can check my Twitter and I'll repost it or whatever. And it's going to be a good time. I was obsessed with Mary-Kate and Ashley as a kid. So this is going to be, it's going to be good.
All right. Well, I think the website for the Stockwatch is already struggling under the weights of you guys. So if you are not able to get it to work tonight, I am being told to check back in the morning, and you may find some more success. So we do what we can. Thank you guys for joining us. Next week we will be joined by Chantel. Chantel will be joining us for the roundtable next week. So read all of her tweets to try and figure out how she's going to rate the players. try to predict. All right, that's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Timothy, to Mel, to Alexandra, and everyone else that helps with the Stockwatch stuff. And I will see all of you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.